Tonight, we're beginning our first budget work session of the budget year 2020. Tonight is when we talk about the general fund. The work session format is one in which this is our opportunity as a mayor and council to talk to each of the department supervisors to find out what their individual proposals are for each budget. Tonight will be limited to the general fund, and then in a couple weeks, we'll be doing the utilities. And before we get started, Troy would like to make a comment.
If possible, when Zach proposed to have the listening meeting at the, I believe it was on the 11th, I had had an anniversary and birthday trip planned with my wife, and I told everyone that evening I would not be able to make it if it was on the 26th. I apologize for not being here, but that had been planned for 6 months. That meeting was planned for 2 weeks. Had I been here, I would have been in attendance.
All righty. And as is normal with our work sessions, tonight, obviously, as with all of our meetings, all of our public meetings, the public is welcome to listen, attend, and, you know, and follow what the proceedings are. But there is no public participation at this work session or the one in 2 weeks. So this is our opportunity to actually get into the nitty-gritty about the budget and talk with our department supervisors about what they propose. The whole process starts with myself proposing a budget. And so I am proposing a general fund budget for the next year, fiscal year 20, of approximately $5.9 million. This level of funding and expenses requires a reduction in general fund expenses of about $1.2 million. We have discussed increases to our water and wastewater rates as recommended in the recent water and wastewater rate study completed by our town engineering firm in February. We have also discussed increasing our stormwater utility fees. And, of course, all that will be discussed in more detail in 2 weeks when we talk about the utility and do the work session on the utility funds. These increases are needed to ensure that these three utilities no longer need to borrow from the general fund to support their operations. We will discuss these increases in details at the utilities budget work session on April 15th at 5:30 p.m. in these council chambers. Tonight, we are focused on the general fund. As I mentioned, I am projecting a FY20 general fund budget of approximately $5.9 million. This level of funding and expenses requires a reduction in general fund expenses of about $1.2 million. The projected budget for FY20 requires a real estate property tax increase of 30% from the current rate of 68 cents to 88 cents. Tonight, you will hear the town department directors proposed budgets that would result in an 18% reduction in general fund expenses. This budget contains very few capital items. The street projects are funded 100% by highway users' revenues provided by the state of Maryland. The budget contains no raises for town employees, nor does it include a one-time payment to employees, which has been our tradition during the holidays for the past 5 years. I am, however, including the $50 food line gift card for all employees in this budget. This has also been a long-standing town tradition, which I would like to continue this year. Neither I or the council fully grasp the extent and persistence that borrowing from the general fund has posed. I do not believe any of us feel we can continue to borrow from our general fund for the foreseeable future. An 18% reduction in general fund expenses combined with a tax increase to 88 cents will enable the town to stop borrowing from the general fund reserves to support town operations. I'm providing a town of Berlin budget comparison over the past 3 years compared with the proposed FY20 budget. In your judgment, during the budget process, you can, as in the past, I'm talking to the council here, in your judgment as council, you in the past can recommend adjustments to this proposed budget, but I do ask you to adopt a final budget that puts an end to the continued borrowing from the general fund reserves. and puts us in a position to plan for the gradual rebuilding of those reserves over the next several years. So with that, we'll now begin the...
Can you repeat the tax rate proposal? 88 cents?
88 cents. Thank you. And next is, we'll have our finance director, Natalie Salee, give us an overview of revenue and expenses.
Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
Or 7%.
Right? So this number here, just to speculate, is budgeted at the current rate that we have because the proposed rate wasn't announced. And so this amount will change if we will go to pursue the proposed mayor's proposed new rate. So the number will change.
Go up. Okay.
Up by how much do you think?
Next is corporation tax. This is as well we do receive from county, and this corporate tax include the property, equipment, and inventory billed by the county, and we receive the share of it. I'm estimating it to go down by $20,000 just by looking at what we receive on an actual quarterly basis so far.
Natalie, just so that I understand you,
yes.
The number that we see here, the $2,912,949, that is without the 88 cent tax rate.
That is a base, accessible base multiplied by 68 cents of the current rate.
Thank you. And without anything changed, we have a 7.3% increase in our property tax base.
In revenues.
Okay.
Because of the reassessment.
And we're looking at, with an 88 cent tax rate, from where we are now, I believe, like a 29% increase. Thank you.
Approximately about 20,000, and basically we received the many permits, how many construction sites, residential, commercial, would plan to have. So it's very estimated numbers. So building permits, we're thinking to be approximately 60,000, will be down by 5,000. Sign permits decreased by half, 1,500 instead of 3. The next line item I would like to point out is the highway user revenues. It's up by 57,000. We're planning to receive 213,172, and all this money will be allocated to street projects.
Can we go back to Comcast for a moment?
Sure.
Why do we show, so we're looking at franchise fees, description Comcast, what is this, a decrease in $88,000? Is
we
that?
We have received two quarters so far at $22,000.
Okay.
So I took additional two quarters and I budget for $22,000. And I don't have this projected good number, so I'm just looking at what we received as of today.
Okay.
If the franchise fees will change with the new agreement, it could go up, it could go down, but approximately $88,000.
So this will change with the new franchise agreement?
I would say so.
Or has the potential to change?
Has the potential change, yes. But I would leave it as what we're receiving as of right now.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. So we stop at the highway user revenues. Highway user revenues projections come in again from the county. From the state. Their projections, how much we will receive, and from what I hear going forward, they're planning on reducing the funding. We're leaving the slots revenues at 350, the same amount we're approximately getting from $23,000 to $30,000 a month. Hopefully those revenues will go up, but I'd like to be on the same line item, the same conservative. If it goes up, it'll be better.
And all those fund the police station?
Those monies are allocated or earmarked as unspendable to rebuild back the monies that have been spent on the police department. Is what Ivy have available for economic development for downtown. For businesses to apply and receive monies to, I guess, refurbish, rebuild the frontage of the buildings. $30,000. County grant, we have received $15,000 more in comparison to last year. So I'm budgeting that at $465,000 as received this year, within that this amount.
Yeah, what we requested was $500,000, which is what the other Snow Hill and Pocomoke also requested.
Oh, that's great.
So we'll see if they could afford to do that. But that's what everybody asked, and that's compared to $400,000 10 years ago. Okay.
Moving to the next page, two. Waste collection. This is a commercial trash pickup that the town deals quarterly, commercial businesses only, estimated to be the same amount, 20,000, no changes. There's a fingerprint fee line item, and it's basically a revenue neutral item. Police department provides the services for the public for fingerprinting. So they have an expense on their budget for $8,000, and we record a revenue for $8,000. There's no basically impact on the general fund. The next big items that you see, water fund contribution, sewer fund contribution, electric fund, and stormwater. Those are overhead allocation, and just to explain the overhead allocation, it's basically the administration salary and contracted services for together and divided into the percent of each fund. Those numbers will change as we go with the utility funds. As utility funds balance will change, the percent change of contribution. But the variance will not be so much significant. All of those line items went down because we're reducing the budget, and basically the percent is lower. Moving down to impact fees, residential, impact fees, commercial, they're halfway down the page. This current budget was estimated to be at 115 due to the new constructions that we were expecting going, basically they are going on. But for next year, Dave and I discussed fees, not thinking we would have many more. So for residential, we projected 15 units at 2,000, approximately 30,000. And for commercial, it's calculated $1 per square foot. So it's about 10 of them at 1,000, so for 10,000, total of 40,000. Impact fees revenues is also earmarked and restricted for specific projects only. They're allocated to be used only on the area where impact fees collected. So again, this line item is basically revenue neutral. We have an offset of expense for 40 and offset of revenue, but most likely we will not touch that here, the restricted revenues. Interest earned decreased. Basically, that varies with the cash balance in the bank account. I am projecting it to go down by 25,000. We have parks and recreation grant budgeted for fiscal 20 of 105 for Henry Park basketball court grant. We also have a $9,000 match that we require to budget for that. So when we go to the capital outlay account items, you will see a slight higher number there by $9,000 because there's a $9,000 match from on our behalf. Page 3. No big changes here, except I would like to discuss two line items here. First one will be bond loan proceeds. This is our Berlin Falls Park loan. So as of right now, we have a balance in the bank, approximately 200,000 left to draw, and with the demolition plan and budgeted amount for 150 for this fiscal year, we will only have left of 100. To kind of stretch a little bit, we decided Laura and I talk about it to budget 50,000 for next year. The 50,000 will cover Berlin Falls Park coordinator salaries, and remainder will go to any improvement or needs that will be applicable to the Berlin Falls Park.
I would like to clarify, the Berlin Falls Park director does not get $50,000. It's about 22.
Yeah, actually I'm reducing it to 21, which is about what we've been paying him.
Yeah, that's the actual. It was put in as a budget amount because unknown how much work would have to be done. But that's been, for 3 years, it's been that same level.
Even with the 10% reduction of the overall expense, I'm talking about expenses now, we're still going to have to borrow from reserves.
Well, let's talk about that.
Because that's not what we've been discussing.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Something's wrong here.
So there's 131,190 if the mayor council raises taxes up to 88 cents, do you think we'll still have a shortfall?
No, that shortfall will go away. The rate of revenues here is calculated at the current rate.
68 cents.
Yes. And is it fair to say that the actual budget cut wasn't 10%, it was actually closer to 18% of the general fund?
Yes.
Natalie, if we cut the Henry Park basketball court grant and we cut the $50,000 bond allocation for Berlin Falls Park and put that on hold until next fiscal year, we would definitely have enough money without raising taxes.
Sorry, that's not correct.
Well, we're at $131,000 shortfall.
Not in calculation.
Okay.
In the point of the monies that we're talking about here, the loan and the grant, they're neutral. I have an expense for 50 and I have a loan for 50. If I take away the loan, I take away the expense, the net on the budget will be zero.
Okay.
The same thing with the grant. We're allocating 105 for the parks to expense, so we can apply for a grant as a reimbursement basis. So it's again revenue neutral.
Okay.
If I take away the grant, I'll have to take away the basketball court.
If you take away the grant, but the 105 that we would be putting up in this budget would be reimbursed, and the only thing that would truly be coming out is the $9,000 match.
Yes.
So for $9,000, we're going to get
$100,000+.
Okay. All right. And then I understand the bond.
When you said basketball courts, you mean the lights?
The lighting.
The
yes.
Lights.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Right.
So the overall decrease in the budget is $1,283,782.
Goes back to that $1.2 million reduction in the general fund that I proposed here. So
okay.
Just a few dollars actually more.
17.94% reduction. Got it.
You said in your presentation that some of the line items you have been conservative with your estimates. Can you point some of those out for me?
I'm conservative on corporate tax and state income tax, just because of prediction of what I see so far from the paperwork they provide with each payment we receive. Plus, as I read, I see so many changes in taxation, and it's a lot more credits and incentive available to taxpayers. So I'm just predicting that those numbers will be a little bit lower than we have in fiscal 19.
And explain to me the slot revenue again.
So slots generate money from people who are participating in gambling.
Yes.
And total pool gets allocated according to the percent to municipalities surrounding us. So our percent gets sent to us on a monthly basis. When we receive this money, in the past when we were building the police department, we have discussed an earmark that slots revenues should be going directly to rebuild the monies that we have borrowed from reserves to finish the police department.
So this $350,000 will be going directly to rebuild the reserves. And on this other page, you said in order to balance this budget, we would have to borrow how much from the reserves?
$131,459.
We could balance this budget with the slots money, and instead of having $350,000 going to rebuild the reserves, we could have 150 minus 100 and whatever that number is going to rebuild the reserves. We could have 350,000 minus the 100 and whatever it takes to balance the budget. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand what you're saying, but slots revenue is kind of, again, neutral. If we take away the slots revenues not to rebuild, though, we will have to take away the allocation to the prior expense. So I understand what you're saying. If you want to decrease, basically you need to combine those then together.
Yes.
And again, remember, the reason we authorized the police station to be built after decades of not moving forward is at that time we were estimated, and we were getting, and estimated that we would be getting $250,000 a year. So we were estimating that it would take between 10 and 12 years to pay down that debt. But because slots revenues have been actually greater, it looks like that will be closer to 8 years in total in terms of payments, where then there's no more debt. So the idea was, and we also were required to tell you know, to the state what we're doing with our slots money.
Every year we do report it.
Yeah, and they have an advisory committee that looks over all that in the county. And what we did is we pledged to them that money would be dedicated, because it has to be used for public safety, and a couple other things, public safety being number one. So we're saying, yes, we're using it for public safety. We're building
basically restricted, to answer your question. We could not build the reserves. We have to allocate it to public safety.
I understand. Mm-hmm.
And then we have to come up with a new use, let's say 8 years from now, or whatever it is. We have to come up with a new use that is within the guidelines that the state approves for the use of the slots money. If we basically use it for anything else, we have to pay it back and we don't get any more. So,
it's for community safety.
There is no such thing as free money, even when in grants. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Could you move that microphone over towards you? Because I think, could you move the microphone over and make sure it's on?
Is it on?
Light.
It is on.
Oh, there we go.
Thank you. That helped.
I was stuck in all this time without.
I'm sure it helps everybody else. I'm sure it helps everybody else because it certainly helps us.
Yeah.
So
Mary,
did you want her to highlight the expenses, or did you want to go to the fire company?
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, that's sure. Let's do that. Yeah, let's do that. Can you take a break? Our company then can make their presentation, and okay. They can head on.
Thanks, Adam.
Yep.
Thank you. All right. Next is the Berlin Fire Company. We'll be making their proposal regarding the FY20 budget. David, when you start, just you'll introduce everybody. We all know each other, but that way everybody will know who's.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor Council.
Good evening.
David Fitzgerald, President of Fire Company and the Emergency Microservice Corporation. I've got John Holloway, who's the EMS Captain, and Fire Chief is Jim Caron. Just have to tell me when you're ready.
red.
Oh, red, okay. What EMS Captain Holloway sent you up front at your packet is the Emergency Medical Services Incorporated budget, just the general cover sheet that we generally have. The next page is the budget, the 2019-20 EMS budget summary. And then the next page is the 3-year comparison. We're 17-18, which is a finalized year. 8.8 months.
And for the benefit of the people who are attending, because we got all this in front of them, they don't.
Okay.
If you could just give the totals so that they have some idea what we're talking about in terms of.
I'll be glad to.
Sure. Just not every line.
So the total. Yeah, and we'll go to the details as we work through. Yes, sir, Mayor. So the EMS budget for the year 2019 to 2020 is $1,500,029.39. The town portion of that would be $443,815.99. So on your third page, the comparison sheet, I'll note that's 8.8 months. We've not closed out the ninth month yet. This is March 31st. This happened yesterday, so the bills got put in Friday, plus any bills that come in this week that are March expenditure get charged back to that ninth month. With the exception of the town grant, that's only 6 months. We've only received 2 checks so far. So that's the 3-year comparison. Then we have the ambulance replacement fund schedule for 2019 to 2020. We replace our ambulances every 10 to 12 years. Currently, we're 3 years past on our 2007 ambulance. It's going to be 13 model years old. So we have delayed that several years now, 3 years past the normal schedule. We're asking for a capital expenditure of $116,000. The only capital expenditure we've had for the ambulance for the past years has been $90,000 that we received a couple years ago.
Did you say 9 or 90?
90,000.
Thank you.
So we're asking for that, and that'll allow us to accomplish that. And then we gave you the next replacements will be the year 2029, 2030, and 2032. In that, these ambulances are about $300,000 apiece. The last quote we had is $287,000. So we all know inflation by 2029, but we just put $300,000. On a 12-year cycle, that means we need to budget $75,000 a year to put away or budget, however you want to say it. We have generally, throughout the years I've been in the fire company, we've always tried to split those capital costs between town budget and the county. So that would mean each in our budget worksheets and in our internal financial systems, we would allocate $37,500 each year to be put in the apparatus ambulance replacement fund to build up the funds and pay for these ambulances.
If I hear you correctly, $75,000 annually would get us on a replacement schedule honoring 2029, 2030, and 2032.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
And is that something that, looking forward in a future contract, that we could discuss splitting, sharing that cost together so that those reserves are
because that's what you're proposing.
And yes, sir.
Between the county and the town, right?
I mean, yes, sir. That's what we're proposing to continue the past practices when we were in a routine funding cycle. We would take $30,000 of the county, the town appropriation, and $30,000 of the county appropriation, and put into that account.
Okay.
So it needs to go up a little bit from $30,000. It needs to go to $37,500, and we have expressed that to the county commissioners that the ambulance funding needs to go up. They are funding the ambulances at $10,000 a year, and we've asked for an increase of that funding.
Three ambulances, sir.
Yes, sir.
How do you determine how many you need for?
Determined by call volume and verified by the study that was done. The study in the study, it said that we, for what we run, the three ambulances is applicable. Really, we need two to operate, but you always need to have that third. You're going to have one, like we have one broken down now. This oldest one, again, is broken down for repairs. because you're always going to want have one out for an oil, not always, but you're going to have to take one out for an oil change and routine maintenance. You don't want to be down to one ambulance serving the entire community.
Is it possible?
Yeah, let's go back to I think the third page. And you talked about the ambulance replacement. And I see Town of Berlin, Kappa FY 1920, $116,000.
That's correct.
So you are requesting $116,000 in this budget?
$116,000 in capital, yes, sir.
And and that is in addition to the $444,000 operating?
That's correct. It's in addition to the operating.
I just wanted to understand.
Yes, sir.
Is it possible, since you're running two primary units, can you put a shop unit in that's a little bit older to keep as a reserve? So I understand your replacement schedule. I understand that you need an ambulance. This one's 13 years old. But what I'm saying is a practice moving forward with your next replacement, is it something that we could have two units that meet your standard replacement schedule and that we have one unit that whatever one's the best of the two that you keep for a longer duration for your shop unit?
And what we've discussed in that, Mr. Tindall, is to re-chassis a unit instead of buying a unit entirely out and have that re-chassis unit, which would be approximately maybe one-half or 60% of the cost, and have that re-chassis. So you would have a brand-new, so the people not familiar with what I'm talking about, the front part, International, Ford, Chevrolet, the parts you get in and drive, is new, and that's the motor and the air conditioner functional. And then the part that the patient is in, it gets a rehabilitation at the factory, a factory rehabilitation, and brings it up as best it can to current safety standards. It's checked out to exactly what I think you're trying to say. Give us a longer longevity in the box part, which is over half of the ambulance cost.
Now, currently, you have two new units, correct?
We have two new, and this one, 2007, which is constantly a Bar International. It's there again. And we cannot go to a reserve. Well, I'm not saying we can't, but the county does not recognize in their grant a reserve ambulance. So we would lose whatever ambulance allocation they would provide to us. It has to be a functional ambulance that's fully in service, so it can't just be a reserve. Like, so we can't not have a stretcher in it, not have monitors.
Right. Right.
And then our call volume also, we do have calls where we'll have three calls. Could all be in town or could all be out of town at any one given time, or a serious accident, especially out here at some of our intersections that are.
Could you get me a price? Since giving the budget climate that we're in right now, could you get a price on re-chassis-ing this ambulance?
Do you have it? I can do it because Ocean Pines just did it.
Okay.
For two of their units, and we're doing one in Snow Hill right now for $170,000.
For $170,000?
Yeah, and we're going to a Ford chassis from an International.
Ford.
And that's the thing. Once we get this third ambulance here in Berlin, that's a PL custom, over to a Horton ambulance, we'll have all of the same manufacturer. All the ambulances are manufactured by the same, and then we can just start the re-chassis program if that's what we do.
So that's something we could be looking at in the future. This one may be cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So again, I just want to clarify for everybody understands, we can't do that on this ambulance because of different manufacturers. Once we get this third one done, then we can revisit that. So I just want to be clear, that's not an option this time, but it is something we all want to look at in the future if we can do that. And so we have explored that idea so far.
The other thing too, we rotate all three ambulances weekly, and spreads the mileage out. We get a longer lifespan out of the ambulance as well. So,
thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Any other questions about the ambulance that Mr. Holloway or make an answer?
Are we going to continue to have three ambulances here at the Berlin?
All the headquarters, yes. They're all
the headquarters.
Yes.
With the new fire.
There's been no intention of the fire chief or ambulance captain or the fire company, and they're both here, to move any ambulance to another station, because this is where our quarters are. This is where the career staff have their quarters to sleep and to work and office area. The other stations do not have those facilities. Yeah. The next page is just EMS Reserve Fund summary. As you know, we've depleted that. We have cash flow with the EMS. So we just put it in here. I know you're struggling with the same dilemma as to what you should have in your reserves. We used to have $500,000 in our reserves. We tried to shoot for a 50% number for salaries. A $500,000 reserve, to give you an example, would be 33% of our current budget, or approximately 4 months in reserves. I heard you mentioned earlier one of the ideas, and you mentioned at the meeting at Steve Decatur, you were looking for ideas, and I heard the finance director earlier mention the slots. That's one of the ideas that I had, is the slots revenue. While I understand it cannot be used for reserve funds, it can be used for public safety. It could be used for part of the operating budget, and then we could take the surplus of the operating budget and put that into reserves. That's the legal above board way to do it. Just a thought, instead of paying off the police department early when everybody's tight to get these reserves, it would eliminate the cash flow of payments every June 30th. The EMS, looking how it's going to make its first bills in July, and as well as when the funding comes from the town, trying to time that so much. So again, that's just the number we put out there for discussion. It's nothing hard written. You guys are doing the same, and ladies and gentlemen are doing the same assessment. But our assessment is, 33% of the budget. We don't think that's a bad have reserves. What could happen to us? We knock on this table if it's wood or not. Our revenue, what we always get concerned about is changes in the healthcare industry, changes in the invoices. We certainly do not think the Worcester County government or the Town of Berlin government is going to go bankrupt or fail, but where we could lose revenue and not be ready for it is changes. And we saw that during the Affordable Health Care Act. We saw drastic changes in how the reimbursements are done. So that always worries us when if we don't have reserves there. We have always used those reserves in the past when we have a overage year like this year, where we've had some breakdowns that I'll talk about a little later. We know we can go to that, and then we try to put that back when we can. So next page is the calendar year stats for 2018. In-town calls, 58.4% of the calls are in-town, and the out-town's the balance, 41.6%. So we're running that same percentage. We run 55 to 59% for the last 10 years of in-town calls. So we've...
In the future, when you break these out?
I'm sorry?
In the future, when you break these call totals out, is there a way you could show address specific? So the hospital I would like to see in a separate category, and I would like to see the nursing home in a separate category. So it would...
The hospital as far as...
What is it?
Transports.
9733.
Transports to the house?
Nursing home and... Nursing home, that's what I was thinking.
Oh, nursing home.
I apologize. That's okay. 97315.
Yep. 9715, Healthway Drive.
Because I was going to say that the hospital, we don't transport...
I apologize.
Generally, too many have it there.
So it would read something like in town, then nursing home, and okay. Gall Creek, and then out of town.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we've talked about this for years, and you guys have had it in your, when you had your community meetings back in, 2015, 14. One of the top priorities in the public safety section, I think it's 3A, says develop an EMS funding formula, and that's just never come to fruition. So again, we'll give you examples of a formula system, and this was talked about during a study, the three things we could do, the formula system, a tax funding, or continue on the way we do it now. So if you did some math, in town, no transports. We had 251 of those last year. If you use the county formula at $190, that would be $47,690. In town transports, the transport number for the counties, they only pay 1/4, they pay 25%. So that's the 75% balance, $570. That's what that number would be, $427,500. Ambulances are currently allocated from the county grant formula at $10,000 each. That would be $30,000. And then employee full-time equivalent personnel are $5,000 per. So at 13, that would be $65,000. So if you did a formula-based system, that would be $570,190. If you want to, again, like the study talked about when we were out to the school and talked about a tax funding, and you've all talked tonight, you know, every penny on the tax dollar that you fluctuate, that you raise, is $43,626.31. So right now at current year, $355,000, we're at 8 cents of the tax dollar, and we're proposing this year to be at 10 cents on the tax dollar. So again, it's the taxpayers and the council's discretion. Is the EMS worth 10 cents on the tax dollar? So the next page, that's on landscape print because it wouldn't fit the other way. That's the five-year estimate out 5 years. The notes I have on the bottom, we've talked about this for several years, is wanting to get up to two full crews to have four people there and a supervisor, four people 24 hours and a supervisor Monday through Friday during the day. So that's the five-year projections.
So if, let's go back to your last page.
The five-year projection or the one before?
No, the one where you proposed a tax rate, or pegging it to a tax rate. So if we pegged it to a fire tax and we said 10% of your taxes.
10 cents, not percent.
Or 10 cents, I apologize. Thank you. I'm off tonight.
No, sir. I just wanted to make sure we don't have a miscommunication.
Thank you. 10 cents of your tax dollars from here moving forward would go, actually, I would peg it more to a percent that meets right now.
Okay.
So that as those properties increase in value, that would be additional funding that would hopefully keep pace with inflation. Would that be something that you could work around?
I think so. And the reason I'm confident is we have done that for years, 31 years in the fire company, and we have done that with the grant from the county, and it fluctuates by runs. And in good years, we put the money away, and then we budget, and we know if we have an overage, we adjust. And
you would understand that some years
we would understand some years may be bad,
yeah.
And you know, assessments go down, or assessments go up, or you annex and grow the tax base and grow our call value,
right.
Then the service goes up. So yes,
that's good to hear.
We're glad to do that. So the get into some of the details, you know, revenues, how the money is received from the ambulance, donations. We've increased that because this year in FY19. We've received an increase in donations, and we hope that continues. Same as the annual donations, that's the mailer that we do in November for the EMS. The county grant, you see, has gone up. That's because the call volume has gone up. We have met the presidents, chiefs, and ambulance captains of all the fire companies, met with the county commissioners, and gave them some proposals to increase some of the formula rates. We won't know where that will be till they start doing their work sessions and adopt their budget. Our, just to throw that in while we're right here, you know, our proposal would be if it went up, those funds would help regenerate the reserve fund. That's what we would dedicate those to be, because we've submitted, you know, a balanced budget. The banking interest has gone down.
Tell me, sir. When the fire department was audited, there was a line identified as cash on hand or cash reserves or something like that. What was that number?
If I have that. I did not print that page at audit. I brought the profit and loss side of that audit. So I'm sorry that I don't have that with me currently.
If I said it was in the neighborhood of $2 million. Would I be off very much?
For the fire company, yes, but not for the fire EMS.
So those funds are identified for fire company and does not play in any form to the reserves that you are trying to create and maintain for the EMS.
Right. They've been kept separate. I've been in the fire company 31 years, since 1988, and they've always kept the fire EMS money separate. They may do transfers. We did transfers, but we stopped that several years ago. We did transfer some money. We talked about that before. For Station 3, because we thought we were going to build bunk rooms, et cetera, out there. That was then put back in the EMS when that plan was changed. And now we are totally separate corporations.
But that number was in the neighborhood of 3 or 4 million.
I think for the fire side, I would have to just agree with you. We're not having it in front of me. For the fire company, not for the EMS. And I apologize that I didn't bring that part of the whole 30 pages with me.
That's all right. Thanks.
There's nothing keeping you all from moving that money to where it's needed.
Yes, the mayor gets a letter every year. I've got a copy here about the fund commingling and the municipalities cutting the funding. And yes, we are not to commingle the funds. We are to keep the ambulance funds for the ambulance and the fire funds for the fire funds. We are not to commingle funds. And then the state aid is even more restrictive than that. We have to actually turn invoices into the state aid fund to show exactly what was purchased, and that's audited every year.
Can I just clarify something? Does that mean the expenses can't be transferred either? Just like all the expenses and revenues stay in the fire company, and all the expenses and revenues stay in the EMS, or are you able to sort of post expenses across to the other function?
If it's a legitimate expense, yeah, you could post those back and forth. And we've talked about that. For example, if we want to get into the very detailed of charge and ambulance, electricity and telephone and how much propane gas that room cost needed. If we wanted to try to get into that little minutia, we could do that back and forth. But we've looked at it in the past, and it really becomes a wash. If you take all of the things that the fire company provide to the employees, like the gear, the pager, start doing the electric, you transfer that over, and then what, for a little bit of time that they do stuff or work or maybe respond on the fire truck, it's usually, we did like a quarter survey one time, and it was actually more money, it would actually dig us deeper in the hole, more money coming out of the EMS for the stuff they do for the fire, so it would actually hurt the EMS worse. But we did a quarter study about 3 or 4 years ago. We took one quarter and tried to the best we could. Of course, we're not experts without putting two electric meters in and things like that, but we did it by square footage is how we did it.
There's nothing restricting you from financing, I guess, is there?
From, I'm sorry?
Financing it?
Borrowing money? As long as we have a way to pay it back, no. As long as we have a way to pay it back. So that's the revenues. Invoicing. There's the invoicing for the 2 years. We're an 84% collection rate just about every year. The charges are set by insurance and Medicare. And, you know, we've kind of, unfortunately, not a funny joke, but, you know, we can't cut off services if somebody doesn't pay their bill. We do have our billing agency reviews their rates every 6 months.
Can you send those over, please, your rates?
Yeah.
If you don't mind. Thank you.
Yep. And just to let you know, Worcester County average from the company that does the billing, they can't share because of confidentiality who has what collection rate, but they gave me an average that Worcester County, their clients, which are most all of the clients in Worcester County, 82% is the average, so we're above that. In Wicomico County, it's 79%, so we're above that. They did, to expand a little bit on what Councilperson Tindall just asked. Again, we do have our rates reviewed every 6 months. We do have a little bit less revenue than some of our other agencies that are nearby us, but it's because the mileage. We're so close. You know, everybody else is going to have more mileage, so our bills are going to be less than some of the other agencies just because of the mileage.
Who reviews your rates?
our billing company, they review them through CMS and Medicare and in the insurance standards to see that they're, and that's all information that's available online that you look at to see what's approved by insurance and CMS. And we've mentioned that before. We, you know, we can charge all we want, but it's just going to inflate the, it's going to lower the collection rate and inflate the accounts receivable. So you can try to be close. If Medicare is paying $450, you might as well be close to $450 or $460 because anything else is going to write you down mandatory write-offs. So we try to be very close to not inflate our numbers. So in summary, how do we calculate the town amount? The way we've been doing it now is we, you know, complete a revenue assessment, then we work from the expense budget, and the town is the last number that goes in. So as I mentioned earlier, 58% of the calls, 2018, and 29.5% of the revenue. If you rounded it, 60% of the calls in town, 30% of the revenue comes from the town. Some of our expenses, the salary staffing, currently 8 full-time paramedics, 4 full-time EMTs. They're all cross-trained as firefighters and drivers. We reduced our turnover a few years ago by having good benefits, pay step scale system, retirement systems, insurance uniform, and the standard paid time off and cost of living adjustments when they can be done. So that's what we do there. We had talked about, if you go to the next page, it just details it a little better. There's always 2 paramedics and 1 EMT on duty at all times. We've talked about this for a couple of years, the 5-year plan of getting the supervisor back, which we used to have an EMS supervisor to supervise the employees, and we had a part-time administrative assistant. And that's what we have proposed in the numbers that we gave you on the first page, is to add that supervisor position Monday through Friday during the daytime to do some administrative tasks and supervise personnel. And then the administrative assistant just 8 hours a week to do some of the administrative tasks that some of the volunteers are trying to do, or that we actually source out to Mr. Berge. That could be certainly done cheaper. No offense to Mr. Berge and his rates, but they could certainly be, clerical stuff could be done in-house instead of his staff doing them. And then they had 1 EMT each year to fiscal year 24. And then that compares our budget, and we're actually lower. So, and you say, well, how can that be if you're adding people back? We did have a longtime employee, a 30-year employee, retire. Of course, somebody works there 30 years, their pay rate has gone up over 30 years. So actually, in FY17, we were almost $1.4 million, and with this year's budget for salaries and everything that goes with employees is $1,385,429. So on the next pages, we just compare the back and forth. There's
What heading are?
I'm on a page that says medical supplies, but I can go back or forward,
right.
Wherever
just
you want to go.
Just want to make sure we're on the same page.
Okay. So the page that starts with medical supplies.
Thank you.
The biggest thing there that is going up is the professional fees. We think this will be our last year with some of the higher professional fees of getting the corporation changed over, the EMS corporation, fully into the 501c3. And that's some of the fees that have gone up because of the time they spend doing the second set of audits with PKS. So that's why those have gone up in the last couple of years. We hope that'll just be a one-year thing, finish up the 501c3, and that should go back down to in that $3,500 range. The volunteer incentive is going up, which, while it's going up in expenses, that is actually a good thing from our side, because that is means people are participating in the ambulance. The volunteers are trying to come out, get the third ambulance out, go out on the ambulance calls when we have the priority one calls and cardiac arrest and CPR, and they get an incentive each month to do that, and that's fully taxable. They get a 1099 form at the end of the year if it's over 600 hours. So that is, while that goes up, we never like to see numbers go up, that's actually a good thing telling you that we have volunteers that are participating.
How many second or third run calls have you scratched in this fiscal year?
In the fiscal year, I don't know the calendar year. We can research the calendar year for you.
10 to 12 calls?
That's a roundabout number that we have. I keep track of it each year.
And the estimated time for an ambulance to arrive if we miss that is what?
I'm sorry.
If we miss the ability to send an ambulance out of headquarters, how long does it take an ambulance to get to that patient's house?
Depending on where it is in town, it's broken up between Ocean Ponds and Shaw, and our further south end, you may get Newark dispatched to that near the fire department. Most of the time, the town is split. The in-town calls are split in between Ocean Ponds on the east side of 113, and Shaw would mainly take most of the in-town calls. So whatever that response time is from Shaw or Ocean Ponds, which they do have manned people, which gives them a jump on the calls. It's not completely all volunteer. So if I had to guess, 5 to 6 to 8, maybe 10 minutes, depending on if they're out on call and we're not able to respond. Does that answer your question?
I think so. Thank you.
And like the chief said, that's for them to respond. We have 6 minutes to respond. So that 10 minutes adds six more to it. So at least 16 minutes, because we have 6 minutes to respond. So 16 plus his 10. So just so everybody understands, that's, you know.
We're on average about 10 calls a scratch, actual giving up calls per year for us that we don't even, respond, we don't respond to ambulance.
Right. Well, thank you.
John, you got anything with that?
No, I mean, that's one of the things that having the three personnel there, we usually just split crews, and we can get through all three ambulances out if we have a volunteer driver there for us. But, I mean, I don't know if it's a big incident of, like, a major accident on Route 50 or somewhere where we had to tie up all of our ambulances at once, then it's pretty rare that we scratch.
Thank you, John. Jim?
Thank you.
So the next page is fuel and vehicle maintenance. No drastic real changes that for just inflationary changes or rounding off numbers in the fuel increase. So just this just reiterates what we talked about, the new capital item, the ambulance replacement. I did get a phone call from the Horton representative because he knew we had asked for a quote, that there is another price increase. Well, it came out today, said April 1st. So it just views the $75,000 for 12 years. And then the next page is just the contingency funds. Again, the funding reductions to try to build that back up. And one of our, you know, we told you one of our thoughts with the slots if we have it, we have a balanced budget submitted. If the county changes their funding, we would dedicate those additional funds over to the reserve fund. And then we talked about the formulas already, or continuing the current practice. Any other questions about the EMS?
Anyone have any questions for David or about EMS? Okay. Thank you.
So your request is $559,000.
Yeah, adding those two together with operating.
Free EMS.
And, yes, free EMS.
Everybody else good on EMS?
Yes, I had to leave the room. Before we move. I just like to, goodness, I walked down the steps and I'm winded. I just like to summarize what I understand you to say about the EMS budget. You are requesting $143,000 in operational expense for this fiscal year. In addition to that, the capital budget you would like the town to fund is an additional $116,000.
Yes, sir.
Bringing that total to around $550,000.
Yes, sir.
And you have suggested going forward that the town could earmark 10 cents of the property tax rate to fund EMS.
That's with the current math today, yes, sir. 10 cents would be the funding.
And you have also suggested that the town not pay down the cost for the police department in 8 years, but spread that over to make funds available to fund this portion of your budget.
Well, my suggestion was, when we got to the discussion about contingency, where we have
yes.
no cash flow, like today, you know, I'll be honest, today the checkbook balance is like $583. So to have some cash available for overages and what have you, just like the town has reserved to build our reserves, maybe take, since the slot revenue has gone from 250 back originally, the mayor said tonight, up to, is to utilize some of that instead of strapping yourself to every penny, because he asked the other night for suggestions to just pay it off at its normal rate and use that to fund some of our operating to allow us to.
And Troy's question concerning finance and the ambulance, what was your reply to that?
As long as we have a commitment or revenue stream to pay back the funds, yes, we could finance, but we would need to know how the loan payments would be paid back.
And the $2.3 million you have in the fire department cannot be commingled with the EMS side,
The fire is different from the EMS. We get like the town did for years, except for a couple of years where the town mixed it into one account. For years, I just know the account numbers 1250 was fire and 1260 was ambulance.
And
we didn't switch. We didn't switch
separately.
Yeah, we didn't switch money back and forth. Now we've even divided further and we're separate corporations.
I understand. Thank you, Dave.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Now, one question before we begin fire. We did some pass through financing for AGH. The way that AGH is structured, would the new EMS corporation be eligible for that same style of financing?
I'd have to look into it.
Okay.
It's an interesting question.
Because that allows you to get a different rate for financing. So if we were able to reach an agreement where we could finance some of these capital expenditures, we may be able to do it at a different rate.
Okay.
And what that does is it passes it through. You would be liable for that debt, but it does pass through us first.
Right. And we did that with Station 3, not to mix that in, but we went through the 147F, the IRS, through the county, and did that where that was out of town and got a lower rate.
So which unit is Station 3 coming out of, EMS or fire?
Comes out of fire. There's going to be no EMS function at that facility.
And did I understand you say you did kind of a financing with the county?
Yes, we did the Section 147F of the IRS code, which allows us to have nonprofit financing, and that has to be supported by a government agency. And since that was in the county was the government agency that we had to have the public hearing.
Do you know if it applies to Rolling Stock or if it's just like physical?
To the best of my knowledge, not being a CPA, it's for capital items only.
Right.
It's not for operating.
So that requirement of not being able to use that cash, man, it just bugs me that you can't use that cash for your EMS side of the equation, because that's where the study really said you need the most help. Is that a mandate from us?
Well, the budget allocation, however you all allocate the budget, is how you allocate the budget. It's, I can't give you a document in writing from the town, but I think if you gave us, like this year, $250,000 for the fire, and all of a sudden we're using it for the ambulance, I think you all would have questions in our audience.
So it's our discretion, you're saying? It's not the state or anything else?
For your funds. For your funds. Now, the county, yes, they do not want us commingling funds. And actually, like I said, the mayor gets a letter also about reduction of funds, which we've been very gracious that the county has not enforced that. Because if they enforce that, they can take all of our money away. And he gets a letter every year that says that.
We won't put you in a bind, but if you got cash sitting over in one pocket, you could use it. It would be a darn good idea. We consider it possible.
So the Chief Cron handed out the fire company budget, just has the cover letter, and then the first page, the fire company's budget for the year 1920 is $775,910, and the town portion of the operating would be $250,000. So your next page is the same three-year comparison. The fully completed in fiscal year 17-18, and then 8.8 months of the current year, with the exception of the town grant, which is only 6 months because of the two checks received, and then the FY19-20. Then the sheet that's on the landscape print is the apparatus, and it has the apparatus out a few years. If you look, has them all detailed, but if you get down to just below the description of all the vehicles, you'll see, and we've broken it down by year, 2024 to 2031, the amount of money that would be needed to follow this schedule. And then at the very bottom, the same as we proposed for the EMS, proposing for the fire company capital request, if we $100,000 of the county revenue and $100,000 of town revenue, and put away each year, by 2024, we would have the $800,000 available. And again, we don't micromanage the town. If you wanted to budget that each year and put it in an account, if you wanted to say, okay, you told us that $400,000 is needed in 2024, and you want to do it that way, again, we're not micromanaging the town. We're just saying that $100,000 somewhere needs to be allocated a year to fire company capital, and that gets us past, at least gets us through the next engine replacement, which is an engine specific for the town that the chief can talk about some specs if you're interested now or at some other time, the specs, specific specifications of the engine, and then as you see, it charts out all the way to 2035 to get you through one replacement cycle of all the apparatus.
What unit would you be replacing? You said one engine replacement?
So we still have, as you'll see, the 1988 engine that is currently in service. That one, and give me just a second. The other one that is, I just can't find it. The 1998 quality engine is the two that would be slated to go at the same time. So we have actually had to make some more difficult decisions on possibly reducing the apparatus fleet, if you will, down to replacing those two pieces of equipment. The main reason we have the older engine now is because it is fit for duty. It is still capable of responding to calls, but we are capable of using it in a sense, as you were calling a reserve piece. We can sort of slate it as that. It's a little bit different on the fire side, that the county still will recognize it. We just have to make sure that it qualifies as a Class A pumper, which it still does currently, just minus some of the equipment that we don't house on it. And you may be familiar with that in the past. That's where we're at right now as far as that is. There's probably, I say probably, I'm almost 98% sure that that's the direction that we're headed. to replace both of those two pieces of apparatus at the same time.
With one engine?
With one engine. So that would help us all as a whole come to some sort of common ground of funding to get us where we need to be. And as you'll see, as a side note, we're looking to something that's more suitable with those two pieces is downsizing the monstrosity, if you will, of a large piece of equipment for mainly the town. That's what the next engine is more directed towards, is more for the town, is responding within the small town limits of the streets and et cetera. So that's kind of what we're geared towards. And I know some of the stuff gets moved around as we see fit or work with the town as far as what comes up for replacement. In order to get us there, further down the road, we will have a rescue truck, and the rescue trucks are right around $1 million now. So we obviously can't afford that anytime soon. We're making the best of what we are to maybe upgrading older pieces of equipment to do like a, as we talked about the ambulances, like a rehab or refurbing those particular pieces of equipment. But those two, to answer your question, not to be long-winded, I apologize, just so you understand and the citizens understand, that those are the two pieces that would be next on the replacement schedule, as you see on there.
What engines are going to be going out to the new fire station?
I don't know exactly yet. One of the engines are going to go, most likely. It would either be the 2006 engine that you see there or the 2018 engine that would go there. I don't know exactly what yet. I know that I have that operational decision to make, but I think we need to see what the dynamic is as far as where we're going to move apparatus around. But it's most likely going to be an engine or some sort of, as you'll see on there, a tanker. The 2010 tanker could possibly go out there. And I know some of our utility vehicles can also go out there as well that are currently sitting out in the weather as well at the headquarters, if you see that at the station. So I can't really say exactly yet what is going to go there, but at least there will be one to two pieces of actual fire apparatus that will be out there once that building is completed.
The next page just gives you a summary of the calendar year fire calls. Again, goes with about the past 8 or 10 years, 46.28% in town and 53.72% in town. Again, we bring this up again just for your recollection, is the out-of-town calls. We are funded with a pass-through grant from the county at $1,000 a call. The more annexations, and you're apparently considering some more annexations, the more land that's annexed, and then we respond to those calls, we lose that $1,000 per call. So, like now that Ocean East is developed, where we wouldn't have had calls probably in open field, the 7 or 8 or 10 times that we've been out there in the last year, that would be $10,000 of revenue from the county that we would not get if that was in the county. The $1,000 a call, fire call, pass-through grant that we get from the county comes to the county, comes to the town, then comes to us. It's pass-through. It's a requirement pass-through, and that's the letter that the mayor gets every year about that it has to be pass-through, and the town shouldn't reduce their funding, and it's got like 7 criteria on it. 2 of the criteria I think are town criteria, and the other 6 are our criteria, things that we have to turn in. And things we have.
Grant. You're talking about something
else. It's not the Amos grant, no ma'am.
No, it's I'll call it the fire company.
Fire company pass-through grant. So similar to the EMS, provide some data. If we did a formula system similar to the county, if you did the $1,000 call for the 168 calls we went in town, that would be $168,000. And then to come up with a base amount number, whatever that be, the county's base amount number is $250,000 to give you a comparison. That would be one formula, one way of funding the fire company. Or similar to, we've had a couple of discussions about EMS, is the current year, FY18, We are at 5.73 cents, and we asked for the same number. So approximately 6 cents on the tax dollar would go to fund the operating only of the fire service. If you wanted to up that and say 7 cents or 8 cents, and we were also mandated to have a few cents of that to be put in the capital replacement fund, that would be fine with the fire company. We would earmark those pennies on the tax dollar and put that in the apparatus replacement fund. So, you know, the $100,000, what I said, it's $43,000. So if you did 2.25 cents like that, 2.25 cents, so that had to go into the capital replacement fund, that's what we could do with it, and that would start us out with that $100,000 a year. But for operating, it's 6 cents, 5.73 cents, so 6 cents on the tax dollar.
And if I understand correctly, then, is that with the amount, I think you rounded off at 10 cents on the tax dollar would be then dedicated to EMS, and another 6% would then be dedicated to fire and rescue.
I said 6 cents, and Councilperson Tindall said he'd like to do some math about percentages, so I did not do any percentage math.
Yeah, you just said cents.
Cents. If I'm not speaking clearly, I apologize. Cents.
So it's a total of 16 cents.
16 cents. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that's yes, right. I just want to confirm that I understand you. Good. Thank you.
And then this page did fit on portrait for 5 years. So there's 5 years of the fire revenue expenses. And you see the town kept it pretty flat in there. The fire company operating does stay actually pretty flat. If we replace the apparatus on time, it keeps the maintenance and repair costs down. If we keep up on our buildings, and you know, historically the fire company budget has stayed pretty flat operating. Capital, it does fluctuate up and down.
Now you have building major repairs and improvements, $50,000 in FY20.
Yep.
Can you elaborate on that?
I can. So for this year, we've got a couple upstairs in the hall, the front part of the stage hall. We'd like to get that renovated. We've got the foyer completed. It's part of, again, trying to generate some more revenue, getting the hall more up to the new current looks. It's like you have fresh paint and things in here. That hall has that old 1965 paneling. We also have some ADA things we need to bring up to date, whether we convert. One of the things that I've talked with the chairman of the board is maybe just converting one restroom to ADA compliant. See, we do have an elevator. Now our foyer is ADA compliant. Now we need to look at at least one restroom, a co-ed restroom, to make it ADA compliant. And just our other fixtures and some of the things are original to the fire company, need to be updated. Our electrician has pointed out several things that are original. So we allocated $50,000 to, again, put back into the 1965 building.
Now,
also, I was going to say, Mr. Tindall, also what you were rather adamant about in some of the discussions that we had, we are currently upgrading our bunk room, our living quarters.
That was my next question.
So, okay, you were going to ask it. I beat you to it. So we are doing those things now. I know you were you had a passion for that, so we are doing that currently as well, just to update you on that.
And that'll hold the personnel that you are.
That's correct. Plus, we have one, plus it'll hold one more additional for future employees if we were to get those, or anyone extra that's at the firehouse at the time.
So it'll sleep four people comfortably.
It'll sleep four, yeah.
And co-ed?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
David.
Sir.
What are you buying office supplies at $40,000?
Can I go just a few slides further? Do you mind?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. All right, we're going to get into the details now, and we'll answer Councilperson Gouria's question. The revenues is pretty well unchanged. You'll see there. Donations down a little bit because with FY18 we did have a couple dedicated donations, some people deceased, and those are one-time things. The town request, I just reiterated that. The expenses, and I'll jump exactly right to where Councilman Gould just asked that question. The office supplies slash computer account, all of most all of our computers, all but one, are 2014 computers. They're all due for replacement. We did get them off the Windows XP platform, so we're not susceptible to viruses. The big amount in there, about 25,000 of it, is the county has gone to a system, Red NMX. It's a reporting system, does our reports, interface with the computer aid dispatch system, and they only bought the basic, and we have to buy all the hardware that's needed and the extra modules. So I would tell you that's our best estimate from getting the quotes from Red NMX, that we would probably have about $20,000 or $25,000 into that hardware and the additional modules. Those modules are to help us keep track of our maintenance and inventory, which, again, would also help improve some of our budget reporting. Not that it's bad. We do count our air packs, and the chief keeps inventories, but this would get it all computerized for us much easier instead of spreadsheets and pieces of paper and depending on the outside vendor to provide us that document. And it does much more. It keeps track of the length of service award program for the county. That does get audited occasionally, also the income tax subtraction that the members get. So this is a robust system that they have provided the baseline for to all fire companies. And we have to provide the hardware and any extra modules, like the SCBA, the extra modules we have to provide. So that's why it jumps so largely. So it'd be a one-time thing, and then it would go back to normal. And then we would get back on our regular computer cycle. We had delayed some of those computers. We generally have them on like two a year, so they don't build up. But with the budget cuts backs, we had delayed some of those computers. Fire prevention, that's a big jump. The chief has mentioned in some of his quarterly reports. So we want to get back to fully funding the fire prevention because that is a big important part in the community, in going out to the Head Start and schools, and we need supplies to do that. That's always fun to see the smiles on the kids' faces when they get a coloring book or a pencil or hats and frisbees and what have you. And most importantly, life-saving to provide that education. So the physicals gym is another one-time increase. We are going to purchase some of it with the advent of Station 3 coming, gives us some more square footage. If we provide the gym equipment, we can then in our budget, our annual budget, no longer have to pay gym memberships for people. So that will be a one-time expense that we'll see reflected in FY21 and future, that we can cut back on paying the monthly gym memberships for up to sometimes 40 people at the gym. Because once we provide the own equipment, then the gym memberships go away. You come to the firehouse. It also helps the chiefs and the EMS captains. Instead of the person being at the gym, they are at the fire station, ready to go. They can respond on a call, so it would help our response times. If, you know, they're there when they're working out, the call goes off. Where now they're at the gym, they got to stop what they're doing and get in their vehicle and respond to the fire station. So the next page, the big jump in, one's a typo. The training is a typo. It's only $8,000, so I apologize for that.
Instead of 25,
it's 8,000.
Thank you.
It's my mistake. It's right on the spreadsheet. It just didn't transfer to the PowerPoint. And the cadets is the other large jump. That's where the error is. The 25,000 should be up in the cadets. The cadet instructor, Assistant Chief R.J. Rode. We have a lot of cadets. And the same as our gear, we need to get them up. They don't go inside and fight fire, but they need the proper protective safety equipment for operating in the what we call the cold zone or outside. They do need gloves and hats. It's not the expensive ones that we have as interior fire personnel, but we have not funded the cadets for several years. And we are pleased to report that program is very robust. 10 to 12 people are participating this year in the cadets and our young adults. We are hoping, and this is where, again, partnerships depend on businesses to keep the people here after they go away to college, or if they decide not to go to college, to stay here in the community and stay within the fire service in the past. And that's why our cadet program kind of did drop down. Nothing that we did or the town or anybody did. People went to college and they left and got their career somewhere else. But hopefully with the economy, the people that choose to go get a college degree, to come back and work in the Berlin community, or at least live, reside in the Berlin community area and join the fire company. So then the next page is what Chief Caron and Councilperson Tindall was talking about, the 1965 station, to finish completing the updates that the chief provided. The four entryway is completed. That's all ADA compliant now. It's got the right fire signs. It's also going to help us with our heat bill, because we're not opening doors and letting every drop of heat from the second floor go all the way out the building. The roof, we're still working on that. We hope to get that completed by June, working with vendors, and you've all seen the rainy season, to try to pick a good time between now and June to get that completed. And then the boiler, same way, the boiler heat and hot water, once we feel we're comfortably past frozen times and some cold weather days, we can get that project going. And as the chief said, the bunk room lounge area should be completed by June and will satisfy us up to at least fiscal year 2024 or past with the staffing levels that we projected. I mentioned about the budget, the stage area, the miscellaneous electrical, and the ADA restrooms. The next page is the replacement apparatus. Just a review of that. That, you know, $200,000 a year needs to go. For example, we said 24 would be an $800,000 approximate engine. $100,000 from the town, we would allocate within our budget. County funds $100,000 to be put in the apparatus replacement fund, and then you know, starting this year with a funding allocation.
And we obviously were trying to take notes, but yep. that sheet on the is not included. So if you just send us one.
Oh, that wasn't there. Oh, okay.
That's all right. That's okay.
It's the same thing. All I did was make it bigger print from the other page.
Okay, that's so, fine.
Sorry about
but so
that.
So you know, no, that's yep. All right.
And then we talked about the funding formula. If we wanted to do, you know, so many cents on the tax dollar.
Does anyone have any questions for David regarding fire and emergency
the capital and
services?
Request.
Yeah.
The capital request.
Fire and rescue.
$100,000. So you want that to start this year in this budget. So that would bring your total request to $350,000.
$350,000 for the fire company, yes, okay. Sir. And again, the capital, again, we don't get into your finances. The ambulance fund, the first $116,000 is needed in this fiscal year. The $37,500 a year, if you choose, I mean, you manage your own money too. If you choose, you're just putting that away, or you say, okay, when that time comes, we'll allocate it. That's your choosing. Or if you want to do like we do, we call it pay as you go. Put that money away. We know it's there. Again, that's your choosing. So we just making sure you know in 3.5, going on that fourth year, there's going to be there's a planned $800,000 fire truck funded, $400,000 from the town and $400,000 from fire company / county.
And just want to make sure we don't misinterpret.
Yes. So again, the ambulance replacement. I mean, that's an immediate, but those future ones. You know, we let you plan your finances how you plan your finances.
Right. So I did want to just qualify to make sure that we understand what you're saying. So I think you said in your just now that your total fire and rescue budget request from the town is $350,000.
It'd be $350,000 if you fully funded the capital,
yeah.
And that,
yeah,
and that would be put away in the ambulance or the apparatus replacement fund. It would be designated funds.
I realize it's the whole thing. Right?
Yep, you want to know the big number. I understand.
Then the total request for emergency medical services for the next budget year is $559,000.
That's
including
correct.
Capital and all that.
That's to include the one-time cap.
Okay. So that totals to $909,000 for everything as requested. Am I correct?
I don't know because
– Yeah, you're right.
The
okay.
$559,000
okay.
and $350,000.
And the reason I don't know is because we try to stay away from totaling those together, because that's what confuses – the public and everybody when we start totaling those two together.
But it's very important that we know. It's all right.
Yep.
Listen, yep. I understand. Look, if you're trying to avoid criticism,
yep.
you're in the wrong place.
So, but no. No, I mean, it's all in the grand scheme. Yeah. When you get to your bottom number, you've got a bottom number.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, good. That's good. Anyone, and it's been a very, this is, I think, by far the best budget request that we've had, at least in my many years of being associated with the mayor and council. And I appreciate all the effort that you all put into it because there's a lot more detail, and I think that helps everyone in understanding what you're asking for and why. So does anybody have any other questions?
Yes. I don't see anything in here showing how you're paying for this new firehouse. There's nothing in the expense side of it. I saw you borrowed $800,000, but I see your contract's for $2.2 million. I don't see anything on here shows how that gets paid for. Are you using all your cash to pay for it?
The building fund is paying for that, and then
hold on, we gotta get two more. I mean, there's no balance sheet on what you've given us. Yeah. Balance sheet I've gotten came from PKS and I see you got $1,413,000 in unrestricted cash, and you got $660,000 in restricted cash. And I guess the $660,000 is for your equipment. I assume.
What are you looking
I'm looking at your Berlin Fire Company statement of cash flow and year end June 30, 2018. It shows you got $2,072,000 in the bank.
Okay. So,
but I don't see anything on this. You give them tonight to show where you make those. Yep. So your payments for debt service.
Yep. Okay. So
how do you pay for the other $1,000,002 with the firehouse?
It is. If you look in the FY 2019-20 budget, debt service station 3 is listed for $100,000. It's the very last item of the budget.
And that's you're going to go borrow that $1,000,002?
We're borrowing whatever we need to complete the station. We can borrow up to $800,000 is what we can borrow up to, not $1,000,002. I don't know where $1,000,002 came from, but we have a line of credit that we were approved for $800,000.
But that ain't going to get you to $2,000,001. That's what the contract is for, to build the fire company. Right.
Right. We've raised funds, we've dedicated the out-of-town run funds, and we've had three large donations and some pledges to build that station. And then we've had to borrow up to $800,000.
So you got $1,000,002 sitting somewhere in the bank.
Well, we have paid Willow quite a bit of money so far because there's
so that's schedules. Where your cash went since June 30.
That's correct.
So there's an update to this that we ain't got yet.
Right, that you're is he looking at PKS audit from?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's 9 months old. That's correct, yes, sir.
So 9 months, to his point, you moved the cash up in the building?
That's gone.
The Station 3, dedicated Station 3 funds is what it's paid so far, and then we'll borrow money up to $800,000 to complete it.
And then, David, you had mentioned that you wanted to get your payment rolling. You want to talk about that?
Oh, well, sure. The EMS cash flow. We'd sent you an email, and we discussed that. Thank you, Ms. Allen. We discussed that back in November when we had the work session to sign the contracts. We had the original contract that we had discussed was paying on a quarterly basis end of September, December, March, and June 30. And it was amended to say on or before with a month after the quarter. So as I said earlier, we provide the service up to 3/31, and we'd like to be reimbursed for that instead of April 30th because, like I said, the checkbook right now between the two accounts, we gave you a balance sheet of that. And, you know, we have payroll due this week instead of so we're just asking it to be paid at the end of the quarter. We provide the service up to 3/31. And if we could get the check, because in the it's not any legal issue, because the contract did say on or before.
And you're requesting the check for when?
Just the quarterly check for the services we provided through the end of March was $88,750.
And that doesn't change from what we agreed upon.
That is the same amount that we've agreed upon on a quarterly payment.
And when do you need that check?
ASAP.
ASAP.
Payroll is due Thursday.
And we got the request last week. And this was an opportunity to explain what indeed.
And then we will run into the same cash flow situation into the middle of May, and there's three pay periods in May where we will, because we don't have any cash in the bank because we've used all the contingency reserves in EMS, the operating cash. And then what we're going to have to decide, you know, at the end of the year, what happens if these overages that we've had, what are we going to do then?
Before, what are some milestones associated with the payment?
In other words, it's $88,750.
Where are some milestones associated?
Well, we have to still provide we've turned in everything for EMS that we needed. We've done the corporation. The audit's done. We still have to come for quarterly reports, which will be April and July. We still have to come and do those. It's just we provided the service to the end of the quarter, and we just like to be reimbursed for what service had been provided up till March 31st of this year.
I believe the agreement says that after you come and do the financial presentation, that's when the payment.
It doesn't specifically say that. It just says we're required to do that presentation, but it is not tied directly to the. Those two paragraphs are separate.
What's the earliest we can cut a check? And we would see you in April. And in April, you present why we would need to move the payment for May.
We would
present what has been done and what needs to be done on that contract.
Yes, sir.
And if you do those things, I motion that we.
Can I just ask a quick question first? David, is the information you would provide later on this month any different from the information that you've already provided?
Yes, we'll provide our quarterly report that we come here. We'll have all the call stats. We'll have the reconciled bank statements for a full 9 months, where right now what we're providing you is an 8.8-month estimate.
Okay.
All the March will be closed out. The bank rec will be done. We will have all of our call stats from the county. I can't call on April 1st to get those. I have to be fair to those people,
right,
too. We ask for 11 different reports, or 11 or 12 reports. The lady and gentleman have to have time to do that. We have to proofread them, and then we have to get our presentation ready for you.
David, I'm glad that we can. So, cash flow being a problem, but yep. I do have a question. I think I heard you say that you would be in a bind by May, and our next quarter, the final quarter, would be
June 30.
July 1 normally. Right. So, are you saying that in May you're going to need the money instead of July?
Instead of June 30th, yes. And the reason being is we just don't have a checkbook balance. I mean, we're operating like someone who would operate from paycheck to paycheck, and that's what we're operating the EMS on now is paycheck to paycheck. We used to have a reserve fund that when this happened, we just transfer from the reserve fund and then put it back. We don't have the reserve fund anymore in EMS. EMS.
Now, we know that's not sustainable, so we have to have a plan moving forward, whether it be your budget proposals, which I mean, we're all tight on finances.
Right.
Everybody knows that. But we need a sustainable plan moving forward.
Exactly.
But in the interim, I make a motion that we cut the check that he needs for April. In your presentation, I do want to see where we're at with mm-hmm. the contract and where your goals are on completing those other things before we cut payment again in May. Okay. I think that's fair.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Just a quick question before we vote on that.
Point of
you
order.
Told Councilman Purnell that the money that you had in the bank, you spent on your new station, then you earmarked the money that you get from the county for the new station.
A portion of the out-of-town calls, yes, that is the debt service payment.
What portion would that be?
$100,000 is what we're doing. That fluctuates each year based on our out-of-town calls.
And I've made a mistake.
So you only take $100,000 out and put it towards station 3.
That's correct. That's it. Whatever.
That's
the cap. That's what our budget cap is.
How much have you all spent so far? How much money have you spent to date?
For
the firehouse, cash. You borrowed $800,000, right?
We have a credit line up to $800,000 to complete the project, yes. I don't know where the contract stands. I can get you a printout and tell you what it is.
You haven't financed the amount you can, and it sounds like to me that if you could finance that amount, that would solve your cash flow problem. If we're restricting you from moving these funds around, I want to see that change because it's all Berlin taxpayer, county taxpayer money.
Well,
and if we're the ones that are hamstringing you from moving your cash around or financing it,
well, and
I want to make it easier on you.
Okay, and we've made a commitment to you all not to spend town funds at Station 3. We made that commitment sometime ago. Okay. You all asked that pretty adamantly.
I'm sitting here saying that maybe we might want to change that stance.
Okay. Well, thank
or
you.
Or maybe it's my suggestion that we do, because it looks like you got a bunch of cash. If you finance that firehouse instead of using your cash for it, it certainly would ease this cash crunch you got. It would also ease the cash crunch that we've got. And it might help us all out. That's just a suggestion.
Okay.
And I still got to discuss it with these guys.
All right. I'll let you all have your discussions, and I'll research that with Mr. Burns.
You can't actually
make
a motion for the session. So I would encourage you to invite the fire company back for additional discussion on
these. Can we do that? We're not going to make a motion. We don't need a motion if we agree by consensus.
All right. It's up to you.
Is that, do we have an agreement by consensus to cut a check tomorrow? Okay. No motion necessary.
And just for clarification, we're cutting the check for the March, April payment through March, or services through March.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's all we're requesting. It's just the services we've provided so far.
So I just wanted to be clear.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
$88,750.
Yes.
$88,750. $750.
I got one more question.
$88,750. Thank you.
Okay.
I got one more question.
Sure.
The $100,000 you asked us to set aside for where you're going to eventually buy that engine, is this going to be a replacement engine, or will the new engine be in addition to?
It'll be a replacement, as the chief said, for actually two engines. We are still in the planning process, but his last meeting was to consolidate the fleet. One engine would replace two.
So the replacement engines would be removed from your inventory and put out of service?
Two of them.
Okay.
Two of them. Completely gone.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time. And
Thank you.
Thanks,
Natalie. Thank you.
I have a couple of notes just looking at the budget, because I missed the EMS budget. I didn't get it out. I'm sorry for that. From the audit, June 30th, I have noticed a new line item is the health care for retirees, an estimated cost of $134,000 for two people. Do you have that anywhere in the budget going forward, and how many people which will participate?
Right now, it's just those two eligible to participate, and it's already, there's a restricted fund already set up for that. That's a restricted fund. And I'm not an accountant why it was removed. It was whatever they do in accounting world to show that it was restricted. That's beyond my accounting expertise.
Is it in your budget?
Doesn't have to be in the budget. It's already been designated there. Any portion of it's already in the salary budget.
Money's got to come from somewhere, David. Is it the cash that you got? Is that where it is?
When the fire company decided to offer that benefit, the people that are eligible, we funded that into a restricted fund, and that's where that's drawn down on when those people's health insurance comes for our portion of it.
Is that coming out of fire or EMS?
EMS, that's EMS. All of the personnel, per the agreement, all personnel things come out of EMS. So that's in the salaries line item of.
So
is that what you're asking?
In the personnel cost.
It's in the personnel cost. That's
as
correct.
As well as the retirement 401k 457 contribution.
That's correct. All of our personnel costs are in that 100%. So we're not coming back to you later and saying we've got an overrun with personnel costs or anything like that. It's all in the personnel cost.
My second question: you have $100,000 debt cost. Is that on your 800 line of credit that you're borrowing?
On the fire company, yes, that's the question that
so
I was asked up here.
You plan to pay $100,000 on $800,000 loan.
We plan on paying it back very aggressively, so we can have that going and plan. That's what we've always done: is we pay our stuff very aggressively, and the other half of that county funds we put that in the apparatus fund.
So, the life of the building approximately 30, starting at 30 and going up to 100 years old, but you're planning to pay that building alone in 8 years?
We budget $100,000 a year toward that building. We don't know exactly what that loan is going to be yet, ma'am, until we get the end of the day. We're getting donations every day. We just got another large grant and another large commitment for July. So that's why I keep reiterating it's an $800,000 line of credit, because that number keeps going down. Every month we get a donation or a large pledge, that number goes down.
But you got a $2 million cost.
Right.
You got $1.2 million left over after your $800 line of credit, and you used your cash to
pay down. We used the cash to pay down, that's correct.
You should have. It would make it a lot easier if you financed it. I think she's saying the same thing.
And can you break out those salary costs for your presentation in April? And we're going to need that for FY20, please. I think.
Break down the salaries and benefits?
Sure. Yes, I want to see all the benefits. The same way that we do it, Natalie can probably.
I can look at her printout and see what she does. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can I ask a question? On this new building, did you request an additional request for additional size to enlarge the building?
Did we request?
I read something about you requested a permission to make the building larger.
Well, we've had several phases of the building. We've had three phases of the building, a large building, as I said earlier, that had bunk rooms and upstairs in it, training room, what have you. So that was the entire thing. When we looked at when the operational officers looked at what we needed, as well as financing, we cut that back. And then we did look at an intermediate phase, like a 1B or a 1B phase, where to make just the engine room bigger before we went to phase two. So there's been multiple, there's probably been 14 different drawings, not to exaggerate, of the building before it was built. So, yes, we've had different variations of the building. And
so
we've explored
those
options.
It's bigger than it started off?
No, it's just like it started off, just like we signed the contract. It's just like we started off. But we got prices on phase 1B as well as we had price on phase 2, the entire thing.
Okay.
Any other questions? Well, thank you again very much.
Thank you.
When you might come back, dude.
I'm sorry?
When you might come back for the April presentation on finances.
It's always the second council meeting.
So we'll see you on the 22nd.
In April.
Yeah.
And we try to be last on the agenda if we could, because it's our meeting later.
Sure.
No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Back to vote.
Now we're going to go down the various departments and review the budget request of our general fund. The next is Laura Allen.
So I'm going to go over the elected officials. We've got a few little typos in the document. For example, so I'm on page 4 of 31. Which is where the elected officials.
31.
Of 31. Yeah, so in the elected officials. I can tell you the direction we received from the council was to look at budget reductions that did not affect personnel. And we used 10% as a target. We ended up reaching 18%, which I think is pretty amazing. But that largely due to the fact that we don't have a lot of capital and the capital expenses in the budget. So when you look at the elected officials' budget, there's really not much in it other than personnel. But there's a few little things in here that should not be here, little typos that I'll point out to you. So at the bottom of page 31, there's a $1,400 item in there for employee training, which should come out. So then this department in particular is a challenge to meet the 10% requirement, because so much of the budget is relying on, or which includes personnel. We were also asked to identify the five top non-personnel expenses. So taking out the $1,400, we've got $750 for office supplies, $600 for special appropriations. That's for donations and memorial.
changes from time to time. That's on, those are on page 5. Dues and publications is another one of the top 5 non-personnel expenses at $200. And that's generally the less dues. Let me know. I'll move on to administration if you're good with that.
Yeah. Special appropriations, office supplies, and dues and publications.
Yes.
Thank you.
Everything else, except for that training item which should come out, is related to personnel, either salary or some kind of benefit.
Thank you.
So I can even get to 5 on that one.
It's okay.
Is there any questions about any of that?
Next, we have Allison Early.
Oh, actually, that's me. I'm going to do administration, and then I'm going to do economic development.
Okay, so thank you.
Administration. So, 10% cut in administration is $161,000. So, I reduced the following items: the fire company for $60,500, the nonprofit grant process, I took that out, that's a total of $30,000. In the administration budget, last year we had the LEOPS study, so that came out, $6,600. We had a budget in there for title searches, that came out. For travel, I reduced it by $2,200. There was a line item in there for professional services, mainly for the mobility and parking study at $30,000, took that out. Reduced the Berlin Falls Park coordinator's position by $21,000. Environmental programs was reduced by $10,000, so that brought the budget down by $162,800. So you asked me to identify the top 5 non-personnel items. Sorry, my contacts aren't behaving so well. I'm having trouble reading some of these smaller numbers. So the single largest item, I believe, in the entire town's budget, but certainly in the administration budget, is the fire and EMS allocation, which is sitting now at $544,500. Right now, I should say, I'm on page 7.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah, sorry. Feel free to say what page you want. I apologize for that. So the fire company's budget sits on page 7 in the middle. If you move your eye up, there's a utilities line item at $19,116. That's another one of the top 5. The Berlin Falls Park, which includes an allocation for coordinator plus some capital at $50,000. The AGH donation to the Cancer Center for $20,000. And then we have an allocation where we spread the cost of administration to the utilities through customer service. And Natalie stepped out of the room, but I'll have her explain that when she comes back. And that's at $70,000. So that's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 top items that I had in administration. And if you can't find those, just let me know.
I'm struggling to find AGH. I know I've seen it a couple times, but
yeah,
now when I want
it. Yeah, it's in the special appropriations. It's on page 8.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah,
so
it really helps if you can tell us the pages because
yeah,
there's
what,
40 items on each page.
Okay. Yeah, I don't go through this very often either, so it's a good reminder.
Special appropriations, and what was the last
one? Last one, customer service. Customer service charges are at the bottom of page 9. There's the bottom listing of my accounts for administration.
Thank you.
So we do allocate a portion of, like, my time, Mary's time, Jeff's time as appropriate to the utilities. So if you have any questions on that, just let me know. If you're
ready. So the total decrease showing in this proposed expense for administration is $317,000. $166.
Yes, because we took a lot of capital out.
Okay, and that helps. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nice to know the details we need to know, but we really need to know the totals. Thank you.
So let me know.
Anybody have any questions?
What did you say on page 9?
Page 9 is customer service.
Okay.
So Zach had asked for us to identify the top 5 non-personnel items. And so I can run through those again if you want.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Right here is the easiest way to spot it. Thank you. All right. If there's no further questions, we'll move on to economic development.
Ivy asked me to put her on speaker. So she's on vacation, but she wanted to be here. Hi, Ivy. So Ivy's here on speaker in case you guys have any questions.
Okay.
Hi, Ivy. I'm going to mute you for a second. I'll come right back.
Okay.
So in economic development, we have a series of reductions. Sponsorships. Hang on a second, Ivy. I can get some blowback from you, so I'm going to have to mute you. Hang on. Sponsorships. And so she's reducing sponsorships by $4,500.
Start with the page.
Yeah, so I've got
please.
One page from Ivy, and I've got the other page. So hang on.
Okay.
26. Page 26.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There it is. Sponsorships, page 26.
Thank you.
Contracted services on page 25. So we have a little bit of a typo here, and then probably an item that you want to discuss, which is the fireworks. So the typo is that the fireworks item should say $5,000, not $10,000.
And what page are we on again?
Page 25.
Thank you.
Towards the middle, under contracted services.
Fireworks should be $5,000?
That's correct. So what we're proposing is that the fireworks be eliminated for fiscal 20. What you have in here at $5,000 is the remaining balance for the fireworks for this July 3rd. So the way that it works is we end up sort of splitting. We have to do a deposit, and then we do the final payment after. So this budget proposes taking the fireworks out for fiscal 20.
Which is the July 4th fireworks.
Not this July 3rd. Okay. It's the July 3rd fireworks of
2020.
Thank you, Allison. Yeah. So the fireworks for this year would happen. This would the $5,000 in here would make the final payment for that, which would happen on the 3rd of July. And what we mean is no fireworks for fiscal 20. Sorry, my phone's making voices. Sorry about that. Okay. Under contracted services, we also are reducing the Ocean 98 sponsorship. And then we're also proposing the elimination of the midnight ball drop and reliance on the kids' ball drop only.
And where are you now?
In the contracted services.
What page? I'm telling you. I've got. Huh?
Page 25.
I know.
Still 25.
Under contracted services.
It's just,
yeah,
it's getting frustrating.
Sure. It's a lot of detail.
Contracted services.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Alrighty. So
this is being cut from, this is being cut by $9,000, contracted service.
Yeah, $9,000.
And included in that is the ball drop, the big people ball drop.
The big people ball drop, that's the way of putting it. Yep.
And what else?
The fireworks for fiscal 20.
Firework.
Completely dropped.
Kids' ball drop, which is incredibly popular.
Well, we see other departments' budgets offset because we are changing these events?
So for the New Year's Eve ball drop, we typically spent about $9,000 for the adult portion. And so it's not directly reflected in Ivy's budget because it's those costs are spread across the organization.
Right.
Usually in either comp time or overtime for that activity.
The same for fireworks?
The fireworks is $10,000, pretty much a direct payment to the...
Is five or ten?
It's a $10,000 payment for the event. We pay it in two installments. Five as a deposit and five after the event. And because of the way the event times, typically we pay five in one fiscal year and the balance in the following fiscal year because it happens to fall right around the July 1st, beginning of the fiscal year. So what I'm looking for in here now is, and just a second. I'm checking, I have a list of all the event expenses that we've had. Here we go. Okay, so in terms of staff time, separate from the $10,000 that goes to the fireworks company, fireworks is $2,700. That would be the staff time, police, over time.
Okay.
Ready to move on?
Okay.
Additional reductions. I should say 10% of Ivy's budget or economic and community development's budget is $32,860. So that's the number we're working towards. I've talked about sponsorships and contracted services. Now I'm moving on to advertising. And she's got a reduction of $10,000, $1,600 in advertising. Let me find that account for you.
That's on page 26.
Well, look at Dean's beating me to it. Yep.
Near the bottom.
Yep. Advertising.
Yep.
That's printing.
That's a reduction of about 47%, right?
Right. Printing is just above advertising on the same page. She's proposing a reduction of $7,400. Specifically, she's got distribution service for the town of Berlin maps and events, which is about $2,300. And rack cards for events, combined events with the town map. So what she's doing is combining events with the town map to save on printing costs and printing in a smaller size. So more like a pocket size versus a rack card size.
And maybe we can talk about some ways that we can make those maps available digitally for people that are visiting the town.
Okay.
So that it's, when people are out and about, that there are ways that they can access that information.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. So that's printing, employee training. She's proposing a $1,000 reduction. That's also on page 26, so towards the middle of the page. And she says she will not be attending the Maryland Economic Development Association conference. So that's it for the reductions.
Total of $36,271.
It should be about that, yeah. $32,860. Yeah, she's pretty close. $36,000, a little bit more. Yeah. So then the top five items. Best way to do this. If we stay on page 26 and you go to the very last item on our budget is the DHCD grant. So it's the DHCD grant, pretty much marketing, advertising, and printing. And then on the previous page, which is page 25, the billboard at 18.
Now, I'm wondering if we're getting more value by having the firework event and the adult ball drop and cutting that billboard. I think we are. I would like to see that.
I'm going to ask Ivy just to chime in if you don't mind. I mean, there's some discussion going on regarding the trade-offs between the billboards, the adult ball drop, and the fireworks. You want to express And I'll do my best to sort of share this with the rest of the group. Do you want to express any opinions of what those trade-offs might be?
I'm not quite sure I understand trade-offs.
Cut billboards.
In other words,
sure.
What's being asked is if by cutting the billboard cost,
right,
which is $18,000,
right,
and but preserving the fireworks and the adult New Year's ball drop.
Right.
That's what we're trying to figure out. What is a better use of money?
Right. What's a better use of money, the billboard or the fireworks and the adult ball drop? In terms of, I think the question really is sort of like in terms of promotion.
Correct.
Of the town and drawing people,
right,
to the town. Is it a better use of our dollar to do the billboard, or is it a better use of our efforts to do those two events? I think is the gist of it.
Right. The way I talked to several people around town, business owners, some residents, and when I mentioned something about cutting the billboard, everyone reacted in a very negative way. That brings people to our town 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year around. It's also a reminder as people are driving, maybe they haven't heard of us, maybe they have some time in their travels or talking with other people, and it's a reminder, hey, you know what, we need to make some time to come to Berlin and check it out. The New Year's Eve ball drop is one of my favorite events. We added the kids' ball drop 2 years ago, and that seems to be just as popular as the adult ball drop at midnight. What I've noticed over the last couple of years is that the weather's been pretty loud, and talking with the staff, because I plan the event, but it's really staff involved, because they're up on the roof, and it's windy, and it's cold, and they have to be up there all night waiting to drop the ball. So I know that it's a very labor-intensive event. And I also noticed that around 11 o'clock is when it gets busy. People come down, or they come out of the bars, and they're outside for a little while, and then the event's over. And I also noticed a lot of teens drinking and people bringing their alcohol downtown.
What about taking your recommendation for the ball drop, cutting the adult ball drop like she proposed, cutting the billboard, adding the fireworks, and shifting some money into advertising to offset what may be lost by the billboard?
Okay, so Zach's asking about getting rid of the adult ball drop. So you may have to repeat that again.
Get rid of the adult ball drop as proposed.
Yeah.
Add the fireworks. Take away the billboard. And put some money into advertising to offset what the shop owners may believe is being lost by the billboard.
And put some money in advertising to offset the concerns from the business community about the loss of the billboard. Can you hear him, by the way?
Yeah, I barely thought, but I appreciate the extra.
The amplification.
Okay. I was torn on all of this. That's why I wanted to leave it up to mayor and council to make the final decision. I went over this for the last couple of months, and I was torn. So if you all feel that that's the best use of my budget, then I'd be happy to accommodate you.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Brian?
Any other? Right.
Okay.
I'd like to stay on. I'll mute myself so you can't hear what's coming in on my end, but I would like to hear the discussion if that's okay.
Yeah, that'd be helpful because it got a little noisy.
I'd like to hear what everybody else.
Just like staticky car stuff by noisy.
Right. I'm stopped now in a quiet place.
Okay, cool. Right. Hang around.
I think the most immediate reaction is that eliminate killing the fireworks over $5,000 when we're talking about really big sums to make a difference. I'm not sure that's a good decision, because that event is really for residents. I mean, people come to town, that's fine, but, you know, we're trying to find events that bring people to town, but we're also trying to have events that
and
are driven by the people who live here and their guests. So that would be my initial comment. And the billboard, does anybody have any reaction input?
I think everybody knows where Berlin is. I think the billboard may have outlived its dad for $18,000.
I'd be glad to get rid of the billboard because I've never agreed with the arrow.
He never liked it anyway.
I never liked an arrow.
Look at taking it four way.
That's funny.
Okay. All right.
Mayor, that would be the one thing.
We could also speak to Ernie and see about putting a scaled down version of that billboard, ground level, on his property, perhaps.
I could find out. I was waiting for them to call me back. I was doing some research on if we just had the billboard during the summer months and didn't have it all year round, so that would definitely cut the monthly fee for that.
That's something else we can consider.
I've never liked that billboard.
Then you could also look for sponsorships for the 4th of July fireworks as well.
Yeah.
Dean will write the first check.
Yeah. And then I'll follow up. I think in terms of planning, it's my understanding that let's plan, unless there's some amazing change of heart, that we eliminate the billboard, and that we preserve the fireworks. And
cut the adult ball drop.
You cut the adult ball drop. Yeah, those three.
And then see what savings we have, and maybe we can
put some of that billboard
if we decide, or put some of that money towards other advertising streams.
Yeah.
I think I missed the third thing. I'm sorry, I'm a little tired. So take the billboard out, and I think I heard cut the adult ball drop.
Right.
And then there was a third thing
keep the fireworks.
And Tom had a good suggestion.
Contacting Ernie and see if we can do some type of a ground level.
Right.
As long as that is not, I have to say, I just think the timing is not good for that. I expect that he will be making an annexation request. Once that is all settled, yay or nay, then I think we should discuss with him, but not before. Because I don't want there to be any kind of conflict,
That is one of the problems, or the challenge is probably a better word. That's one of the challenges to getting sponsorships, is because the town does have a regulatory function, and so it does create sort of some interesting conflicts. But to the extent that folks want to sponsor events and run them through the Chamber of Commerce, and then the Chamber of Commerce is the partner with the town, that helps address those kinds of regulatory issues, because we don't really have any.
And we have, so we have the practical matter. The chamber is doing more and more and more, which is great, and much more than they used to be able to do.
Yeah.
But if we throw all that on them all at one time, it may be something that can happen
over time. Okay.
I mean, let's face it, we've had to do a lot of economic development because there was no other place to go. I don't regret $1 we spent on economic development in the last several years. But I do think that we have to, evolve. Just hopefully in time that will be the town's business community will be strong enough to take all that on. In the meantime we're in a transition.
Sorry.
Hold this up.
I'm sure that was okay.
Okay. All right.
Could we add the possibility of just utilizing the billboard during the summer?
We can see what we can do. I mean, I think the goal here is to make sure that we reduce the economic community development budget by the target amount. So I hear the billboard can come out, but if Ivy's gets the information and it's a pretty good deal to just do it during the summer months, then we'll see if we can work out.
Okay. All right. Is that it for economic and community development?
I'm good.
Okay.
I don't think Ivy has anything.
Next is the finance department, and that again is Natalie Salee. Yes, please. It would be very helpful.
challenging to commit to 10% reduction because finance department consists mostly of personnel costs.
And the microphone again, please. Thank you. I appreciate it. I know you're not in your usual spot.
Finance department mostly consists of personnel costs. There's a couple of items that get reduced to bottom line. Overall, we have managed to cut 7.5% total. With that said, the professional services, which is mid-page of page 10, reduced by 5,000, and before we had additional services in case if we need counseling or consultant from like software providers or et cetera, so we've deleted them completely. The only thing include in professional services now for fiscal 20 request is our auditor's PKS cost of our audit, then the fire company audit of $10,000. And we have a special set of financial statements. They call uniform financial statements that PKS prepares, and that is $3,000. So total overall is $49,000 for fiscal 20.
So we'd have no third-party accounting audit?
It is not a third-party. It's PKS prepares a special set they call uniform financial statements.
Okay. Wouldn't get that any longer?
No, we will. It's $3,000. Okay. I'm reducing it from professional training.
Oh, no, I see it now.
Thanks.
Okay.
Sorry. That's okay. Contracted services reduced by $3,000. We're living in contracted services service we pay to payroll company ADP and our screen tested for drug testing. I'm also reducing personnel costs associated with travel and education, and with that, I'm reducing dues and publications. For travel, dues and publications, and employee training, almost half of it trying to reduce. So instead of two conferences, we will go to one per year and reduce our dues and publication fees as well for that. So finance department requested budget fiscal 20 will total 291,000, and it's 7.5% reduction overall.
So this calls for a total reduction of a little over $23,500.
23,577 to be exact. I do want to suggest here, and it's up for your consideration since we're talking about reducing more. In professional services to reduce 10,000 for fire company if we want to go to a different, instead of audit is the highest priced item for reduce compilation of financial statements basically. There are different levels. There is review, there is compilation. So we decide to, we can look into, instead of audit, paying for just review from the auditors of the fire company or compilation. It's totally up for discussion.
Can you get prices on this?
Audit is 10. Compilation is the lowest, which has no basically qualified opinion. They're basically looking at the paperwork, making sure that everything makes sense. Runs from 3 to 5, and then review, which includes somewhat opinion of the auditors, but a little bit below of the audit level, it's going to be from 5 to 8.
I have an opinion there.
Yes.
We have spent years getting to the point we are now with the fire company, and we're, you know, getting closer and closer to, and remember, we had no information at all just a few years ago. And now obviously, we're having a free exchange of information. We're having, you know, it doesn't make it any less expensive in terms of the request, and we understand that. But at least we have a 500% increase in understanding what the requests are for. And I don't want to see the audit go away because it gives us something in common in a format that we hold ourselves to, and therefore the fire company, it's all using the same standards, but they can control and manage their budget. We do ours. But it has made a world of difference in understanding, and I think in helping the two organizations to work together. And I personally would oppose it.
That's fine. Just so you know.
Thought, and I appreciate looking at every nook and
cranny. I'm looking at every line item.
I know. But I'm just thinking that that's one where we benefit and they benefit. I don't see any losers there.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. I mean, just want to say that's why we're here to discuss this.
It's great for the taxpayers to see it. Mm-hmm. You know exactly where their money's going.
Are those audits available to them?
Yes.
Yes.
All
it is now.
It's all public information now where it was not before. Okay. Cool. Right? Anything else you wish to?
So if there is nothing else for finance, I can discuss customer accounts.
Okay.
Which is page 12. So as Laura mentioned earlier before, the customer service accounts or customer accounts, the bottom line of the budget, total budget, gets distributed by percent and shared, the cost shared with other funds. 20% stays in the general fund under administration. Electric picks the percentage, water and sewer as well. So the bottom line, if you look at page 13, is zero, but right above that, the total of customer service is $353,000, and we manage reduce it by almost 5%. Again, it's a little bit challenging because the cost is basically personnel. Back to page 12, I just want to go over some items new or where we managed to reduce them. Contracted services went up by $1,000. We still have to subscribe to Logic's old software and pay Tyler annual subscription as well. So those costs a little bit went up because we have a long-term relationship, and unfortunately I cannot cut the Logics completely because we have to have access to the old software to pull the records. We worked with Cards, and as soon as we find a solution how we can transfer from the server somewhere else that we can own, then we can cut this contract off. But for right now, I'm afraid to discontinue, and then I won't be able to go and look up something in the past from the old software.
Part of the transition.
Yeah, part of the transition.
What is the cost anyway on the Logic software? Do you know offhand? Roughly, it's good enough.
It's $3,400 a year, just the license. We don't utilize the software any longer. We have rental equipment. Rental equipment is all of our big copiers, printers. That cost will stay the same, so no change there. We had capital outlay item. We were planning to purchase an ice maker so then everybody can utilize for the events, like Public Works can have ice, Electric Department can have ice in the summertime when it gets really hot. If somebody would like a cup of ice when we have outdoor events, but we didn't buy it, we're not going to buy it, so it reduced by $10,000.
So that's something else you recommend to be eliminated?
Yes.
I think that would help a bit, too. We can see this, but I want everybody listening to be able to know, are we talking about eliminating something, reducing something?
We're eliminating it completely, reducing
it
to zero.
Thank you. I know it's not a normal part of your job to have to do this, but I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what's being said. Thank you.
Also, I am reducing travel and employee training costs by half. So it was budgeted for 20 at 2,000. Employee training was budgeted for reducing to 2,000. One new item on page 13 for office supplies, and that's why we can see a big increase on that item. We have to install a new hardware on our server, which is right behind me in the closet, and it's going to cost approximately $13,000 to keep going with the updates and maintenance. Other than that, everything else pretty much in line and the same. Overall, it's 4.55, almost 5% reduction on the customer service.
Could you say it again? Could you say that again? That last sentence.
The overall reduction is almost 5%, 4.55. $16,834, a reduction in customer service budget.
Great. Thank you.
Do you have any questions?
So in both of these budgets, you missed the mandate. The mandate was 10%. And in the first budget, the finance, it was, you missed it by 2.something%.
Yes.
And in this budget, you're missing it by how much?
This budget, I'm missing by 5.45.
I think when we're getting to, I think 10% is a good goal, but when we're getting to a spot when you're sitting here saying, my budget's as tight as it can be without cutting salaries, that's what I like to hear. That's how, if we're looking at having to possibly raise any taxes or fees, when you sit here and say those things, it lets us know that, hey, look, the budget's as lean as it can be. We've exhausted those options outside of making.
Zach, you know, I really wish you would speak to your understanding.
I was speaking to Natalie.
And leave my understanding to me.
I thought you were done. I apologize. I was speaking to Natalie on my own accord.
Because we have five folks sitting up here, yes, six folks sitting up here, and we could have six different opinions. So I just want it clear that when you speak, you're speaking for Zach.
Yes, sir.
And not necessarily, well, I'm not even going to say it, not for this council, but you're not speaking for me.
I'm speaking for myself.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, just again, so we, you know, the weeds are very deep in all this, but I think our, you know, if I understand our, in the budget I proposed, it's just a proposed budget, a place to start where everything adds up, we're talking about reducing overall expenses by 10%. So,
yes, sir.
Just so everybody knows, if that means in one place we might get 12 and someplace else we might get 8 or whatever, the bottom line when it's all done, it's, at least the way I propose it, is that we're at a 10% reduction for the general fund.
Overall.
Just so we're all, you know, understanding what I proposed, and then, you know, how we get there, that's where all the, we have all this wonderful opportunity to get in the weeds. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Public Works Director Jane Kreider.
Jane, this is the last one.
Well, here 2 weeks, but yeah, the last one for Public Works. And this is Dave, in case you don't recognize him in a tie.
I didn't know who he was.
Looking good, Dave.
Well, first we're going to start off with the Public Works Administration budget. The total budget itself.
Which is on page
20.
Oh, page, yeah.
Thank you.
Page 20, sorry.
That's all right.
The entire budget is $77,000, and so that was very difficult to take 10% out of there. We did, and of that, $35,000 is personnel issues, whether it's insurance or workman's comp or retirement, that sort of thing. So of that, about 33,000 is where we had to make the 10% cut. We did reduce vehicle fuel to by 500 down to 3,000. That's on page, that's still on page 21, or 20, excuse me. We reduced supplies and operations from 10,000 to 8,500, a reduction of 1,500. Everything else remained about the same. We did, for whatever reason, I don't populate the telephone, but the telephone was one of the highest, one of the five highest.
We combine all of your cost of the telephone of the department of the locations under one line item.
Okay. So with that said, we were able to reduce it just by 4.44%. But the overall public works budget has a significant reduction on the bottom line after sanitation and streets is added in there. So I'll.
You might as well move on to that then.
We'll cruise and we'll provide that. But the highest, five highest expenses were contracted services. And that's, again, the ADP, the drug testing, Miss Utility, and also the public works uniforms. Also, vehicle main, utilities was one of the high ones at 6,500.
Now, these utilities, are they, they're at the wastewater facility?
No, this is strictly public works at the off of William Street.
Okay, yeah. So thank you. So they're not connected at all to the spray site?
Not at all.
Perfect. Thank you.
Vehicle fuel, we even though we reduced it, it's still one of the highest accounts. And then supplies and operations, we reduced by 1,500, but that's also one of the highest budgeted accounts at 8,500. Sanitation, taking out the, we had huge capital expense last year with the recycling truck and the trash truck, so we've eliminated all capital purchases. We replaced the trash truck, was well over 11 years old. Yeah, and it had been welded as often as it could be, but it was leaking everywhere. Same with the recycling truck. So it was painful, but it was much needed purchases that we needed to get. But this year we won't have that capital expense of $470,000, which we had last year, and we're still reducing vehicle maintenance because those two vehicles are brand new, and we were constantly putting money and time and effort into repairing them. So we reduced that to $10,000, which is a reduction of $7,500. And supplies and operation we reduced by $2,000. So that the total reduction in the sanitation department was a whopping 56.62% decrease in cost. And again, that was because we purchased those trucks last year.
Are they both here yet, Jane?
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me about drug testing, because I've seen that throughout. What is the requirement?
The way it's set up, every employee can be guaranteed they're going to get tested once a year. However, every employee goes into the random. We pick one random per month.
Okay.
So the trade-off, $45 a urine test per employee, the trade-off on that is the credit that you get from your liability, the credit that you get on the workers' comp insurance. The credit's far exceed the cost.
And the last account, unless there's any questions so far, is the streets. And after a lot of discussion and painful decisions, we decided to eliminate a lot of the part-time help that we get for the summer. Had a long discussion with Public Works staff. Everybody's willing to and understand that, you know, they're going to have to do more with who we have on staff now. So there's a nice reduction there of about $13,000. Contracted services went down $10,000. This year, we're, as Natalie and the mayor said earlier, the state highway revenue fees are much higher than normal than what we usually get. So we're going to we're getting $213,000, and I'll have a discussion with you on that about which streets you want in there. Vehicle maintenance, we're keeping that the same. Vehicle fuel is going down $500. Street lights, we're doing well with that, so we reduced that by $5,000, which comes out of the Public Works Department, and then supplies and operations by $4,000. The top five expenses in the streets department is
utilities, the telephone, vehicle fuel, and supplies and operations.
Contracted services.
Again, that's ADP drug testing and.
If I could just hear them one more time,
And paying for the recycling.
She just wanted to state what the five
highest.
Yeah.
Contracted services, utilities, telephone, vehicle fuel, supplies and operations.
Okay. Supplies and operations. That's the salt and that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions regarding Public Works?
Well, she needs to talk about the streets.
Oh,
the
street.
Do you have a separate page on your desk?
Looks like this.
Oh, no.
What's that?
There's this, but there's also this.
Oh, this other separate sheet. Looks like
the
this.
Capital.
Just make sure you have it.
General fund.
You don't have
budget.
To get it for you. Okay.
I don't have it.
Let me get the capital list for you. Hang on.
I don't have it. It should be on your screen in front of you as well.
Oh. Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
It was.
There it is. Even big enough to see.
So Jane would like to discuss the streets and the way we're planning to allocate the state highway user revenues.
It's on the screen. If you remember, Davis Bone and Friedel did the street evaluation. It's well over a year old at this point, but it's still, you know, very good in some aspects. Some roads have deteriorated a little bit quicker than we would have expected them to. On this. You have here, this is the front page. Yeah, we've done Baker Street, Bottle Branch will be done this year, Gray Street will be done this year, and Shallow Street will be done this year. Harrison Avenue, as you can see, the cost is well outside of our range,
Which is $373,000.
Yes,
just so everybody gets an idea.
Yeah, and Stevenson Lane, only because I work Public Works and Water Wastewater, and I know that there's some utility work underneath that road that needs some work too, so that cost is going to be substantially higher. So we went ahead and went to Tingle, West Branch, Decatur Street, we're going to hold off on until we realign it at some point. And we can either do Flower Street, but my suggestion is that we do Tingle, Upshur, Purnell, Middle, and then get back in this line with East Burley, Cape Circle, East Railroad Avenue, West Germantown Road. Those are just some easy fixes that we can squeeze every penny out of that $213,000.
That's eight streets.
Eight streets versus which would we wouldn't even be able to do three.
We'd
those high dollars.
Now, yeah. Mentioning the 8th streets, but I would like to, and I think Jane will chime in, the study been done over a year ago. If we're going for bids, and I'm just playing a scenario, Tingle Road will come at 50 or 60, meaning that we'll have to forego something on the list to complete it. So those costs are according to the study.
True, but with conversations with Dave and DBF, who did the study, that's why I suggested Tingle, Upshur, Purnell, and Middle, because they're all in one area. They said that we could probably get a reduction in cost because it'd be one mobilization. They could do it all at once, and that area is failing quickly. Part of it is there were some big construction trucks traveling there for the tennis courts at the private school. But they thought that we could actually get a reduction in the total cost of those estimates because it'd be having combined.
Yeah, but Natalie's point's a good one. You know, these projects will go out to bid, and those will be the prices that we'll be working with. We think this package sort of maximizes the funds available. We just want you to keep in mind that this is an estimate, and that the bid price will be what really drives how far down that list we can get.
There may be one or more that don't get done if there's not enough money to.
And we're suggesting Tingle, Upshur, and Purnell basically go at the top because we think we can get some savings from grouping them together as
and
essentially
middle.
Treating them as one project
from
a contractor's perspective.
And that's what we're doing, trying to do with these Shall and Battle Branch, do that all at one time too this year. We're going to put it out for bid as one bid.
But it's open for discussion if you guys.
So what's the. I didn't understand how the actual list, the priority list, can you give me those streets again?
We would Tingle, West Branch, Tingle, Cape Circle, Burley, Germantown Road, East Railroad, and Purnell, Upshur, and Middle.
Now, the order you read them there is what versus the order that they are here? I mean, they're the same streets. But
most of them are in that. West Branch is not, but again, that has some issues with utilities in the road. So
that's where it gets real expensive.
Yeah. It's
did you say about Shell Street?
Double.
It's in this year's.
It's in this year. It will be done. It's going out. We're getting the proposals this week.
Which ones are this year?
Pardon me? What's being done this year?
Yep.
Bottle Branch.
Okay.
Grace Street. Shall Street. Mm-hmm. Those three.
Okay. Bottle Branch.
Grace and Shall.
Grace and Shall.
Okay. Good. While they're there, if these projects do come to fruition, if they could address the potholes, the chronic potholes on Buckingham Road when the students and parents are dropping kids off, that'd be great.
And Jane, it's a question. Of course, obviously in the winter, the potholes, they don't last any time at all because of freezing back and forth with the moisture and rain. And there's so many places, but now that once the weather stops freezing, will all the remaining potholes that we know about be able to be filled between now and the next few weeks?
Yes, and they've been aggressively doing it, but again, it's not so much the freezing and the thawing, but also the rain.
The rain's a whole another challenge.
Yeah.
Okay. So to fill them, it has to be dry.
It's better,
well,
absolutely.
It's better because it lasts longer.
To fill them and have them actually, stick and have it actually work.
It needs to be dry.
Otherwise,
they
crumble.
It crumbles,
exactly.
Right? And then
it doesn't really do anything to fill it when it's wet.
Okay, good. That's good. No, thank you. Any other questions regarding the streets?
Okay.
Hearing
so
none.
Like
thank you. Thank you.
I did want to say that we had overall reduction in the public works by 29.8%.
Next year, right?
Overall, streets, sanitation.
Yeah, Public Works, Administration, Streets, and Sanitation.
29% reduction?
It was, yep.
Very nice.
Good evening.
Good evening, good evening.
Wake up.
What's that?
This, overall page 14 of 31. This is building and grounds. Kind of a...
Thank you.
It's kind of a cut and dry. When you take a look at contracted services, that's the cleaning. It's broken down into three categories, the Henry Park restrooms, town hall, and all the other buildings, and turned to the new police station. The big reduction, hands down, was the putting the renovation of town hall on hold. And that's, you know, that was a savings of $263,000. That's kind of misleading because we're not doing anything new. It's put on hold. Okay. If you take a look at building maintenance, there are four line items there. One, building repairs, the HVAC system, and that's encompassing not only of the five units that we have here at Town Hall, but also the one unit that's over at the Visitor Center and the one unit that's in planning. I do know that in this building alone, we do have two units that are failing quickly. I was kind of hoping that we did the renovation, do all of it at one time, so we'll keep band-aiding it, as I call it, to get us along. And then I have a line item on there, town hall exterior bricks. I don't have the right terminology, but if you go outside and take a look at town hall, you'll see where bricks basically are disintegrating. And I bring this contractor in. It's kind of neat watching him. He cuts it out, and then he replaces it with a brick and puts a new border around it. So I don't know what the right term is, but they weather and they fall apart.
Fixing.
There you go. That's
a serious thing. So,
and it's not surprising.
All done, a $260,000+ compared to the current year, and the percentage is about 80%.
Nice job.
So we'll spread it out amongst everyone.
Now, when we had a cleaning person on staff, were we spending more than the $59,000?
About the same when you include benefits.
Very nice. Thank you.
Okay.
What about?
Yes. I thought there was more. I have a quick question.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Can you just tell me approximately what we spend on ADP? Yes. You're looking. Give me a second. I can do a real quick math. Because I notice that keeps coming up. Yeah. ADP, it runs about $180 per year per employee, and you're included in that as well. So take $180 times 72, $7,500, $8,000.
$12,900,
that's close, half.
In the ballpark.
Don't take that out of the shop, please.
Yeah, the question is, that's close. Easier to share.
Now that, I will tell you on a real serious note. Yours goes down a little bit because you don't have as many pay cycles.
Because you took my vacation days.
And we took your vacation. But when you, the contract that we're in now for FY19 and FY20, the contract that I have expires FY20. We got about a close to a 30% reduction in this 3-year contract that I'm in.
Hmm. How'd you do that?
The regional guy was a very workable guy, and we go back quite a ways, to be honest. And he was retiring, so.
Oh, nice.
We got a pretty good deal on that. And he was retiring.
For 3 years.
So the other option we have, Dr. Jeff, is to exit ADP services and have looked into the Tyler module costs and process the payroll in-house with the Tyler software, because they do have a module that they provide, meaning that employees will be put in time in the Tyler, and then Jeff will be processing just like he does on ADP, and then the checks will be cut here in-house versus outsourcing. I don't know
Well, the exposure will be more, and I can speak of that firsthand. I'm sure Troy is familiar with this, too. ADP made a mistake on our accounts several years ago. That's why I got rid of them. But the exposure loss was almost $26,000, and they stepped right in and took care of it. It was their mistake. And they, you know, open your mail and see a letter from the Internal Revenue that says, we want 26 grand, but ADP had fixed it before I received that letter. It just didn't make me aware of it. So that's something we gotta weigh as well, because they're really good. All of those payroll companies should be backing up.
Well, I've explored prior to Tyler, ADP, I can't even think of the other two. But I had three folks on site. And the reality was on something that I felt strongly about, the backup that I felt and I knew based off history with ADP was well worth. And plus, I got a better deal in the end anyway. And the ADP process, just so you all know, the way it's designed is employees are supposed to input their own time. The supervisor basically approves it. And I do the sniff test, as I call it. Submit it, you know, between, we've got a setup here where Natalie, Shirley, and myself, we have a three-way. So there's three sets of eyes, and everyone has different things that they look at because the numbers can change. And I can tell you, as any of us would be, you want to make sure you're in line and, you know, doing things that you're supposed to do.
How much is that module from Tyler Neumann, Steve?
I have no idea right now. I will get the numbers. We're traveling to Tyler Conference next week for 3 days, and I will ask them to provide the numbers. Overall, it might come close to the price of what we pay, but the more you think about it, the labor plus all of the quarterly reporting that ADP does it for us, 940s, tax returns, and W-2 forms, that will be an additional in-house loss.
Yeah. May I make one kind of observation, remembering the days when we did it in-house? I don't want to be here when that goes happen again, because this is just the perception. If there's a mistake, there's always the insinuation that somebody's doing something underhanded.
That's
we don't want to live with that. I mean, honestly, I don't want to live with that.
So this
takes all that out of it. And if they make a mistake, they have to.
Thing that you know I've evaluated, and you all can do it on your own. We're spending that $10,000, $11,000, $12,000 on ADP. You can't hire an employee first of all for that, and then someone that has payroll expertise. And I will go on record and say those folks have been, well before I came here, my other life, ADP has been very good to me. And there are others out there. And I'm definitely not closing the door. I would have, but when I got this 3-year contract, I said it was a no-brainer. So.
Okay. Thank you. All right, any other questions for Jeff?
Good job.
It's easy.
Thanks. Thank you. Next is Dave Inglehart, with the Planning Department.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
As you can see, we're on page 27 for my budget. There isn't a lot of meat on the bone to take out of our department. We said that early on when we were tasked with the 10% or requested the 10%. Biggest expense I have, you see it every year, is the contracted services line. And that really, our contracted services are all our inspections for our permits, the building inspections, from the footer on up to the final certificate of occupancy, framing all those projects. I sat with Natalie and we kind of looked at this, and I don't have a lot of big projects in front of me today, like we've had, the Oceans East, where we've had large buildings and a lot of apartments. This is maybe conservative to take it down. We took it down 20%. Trying to anticipate what projects are in the talking phase now that might fall in this 2020 fiscal year. There could be some other ones, and some of the ones I have now might develop slowly. So this is a forecast. Other than that, most of our budget is, as other people have said, devoted to personnel, just me and Carolyn, salaries, health coverage, insurance. Even we took down office supplies, but I said we could even probably take that down a little bit more, but there's a scheduled replacement for Carolyn's computer that Cards tells us we have to have, so that it has to do with the word.
End of life.
End of life. So even that, we can't just delay it a few months, because first thing she said to me, there's nothing wrong with my computer. I don't need a new computer. And I said, but they tell us we have to do it. So otherwise, we probably could have reduced that a little bit more. And unfortunately, that only leaves us with just over a 3.5% reduction out of the total budget. I think ours is probably the smallest, maybe next to parks and next to the building maintenance. But that's how we kind of arrived at it. Natalie and I went down it line by line. And some things I said, well, take that out. And she said, no, you don't want to take everything away. as she was being realistic, I was trying to get to. I was trying to get to the 10%, and I knew that it would be difficult. So,
well, I speak for myself, but keep it. Thank you for keeping it lean.
You're welcome.
So the planning department budget does not include any money for the comprehensive plan update. This was something we had basically scheduled, I guess, internally for the fiscal 20 budget. But I asked Dave to talk to the state planning office to see if we would have any issues postponing, in part because the resilience element is treated as an amendment to the comprehensive plan. The state doesn't seem to have any issues with us postponing comprehensive plan update. So there's no funding in this fiscal 20 budget for a comprehensive plan update. We can look at doing something in 2021, and that won't get us into trouble with the state of Maryland at all.
Right. It could be in fiscal year 2021, and we could. All that we're required to do, I'll just add to that a little bit. The resilience element is one thing that we're adding something to it. We're just required to review it according to the state statute. So that means the Planning Commission would look it over at probably several meetings and then talk about what they want to see updated before we needed to have, like Laura was saying, a budget item maybe for a consultant to. We anticipated maybe $20,000-$25,000. If we didn't have restrictions, we probably would be asking for it in this budget to get it out of the way, because we are required to report something in the year 2020, not necessarily the fiscal year.
Is that it?
That's it.
Any other questions? And I want to thank Natalie. She's always very, very helpful for everything.
All right. Thank you very much, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
If it's all right with you, I'll just say here.
No problem.
The parks budget.
What page are we on?
That's what I'm 29. Trying. 29. Just thank had you. It in front of me, I swear. Yeah, it's page 29.
Thank you. Thank you.
With only about six areas in the budget, it's kind of easy to pinpoint your top five expenses. They would be the youth program, capital expenditures, which can vary a lot in the parks. They're almost always completely based on what grants we have available. Supplies and operations is usually a fairly big area. For FY20, there is one thing that I am going to be reviewing with the Parks Commission actually tomorrow evening, but I feel fairly confident we'll reduce this budget just a little bit more. I'm going to eliminate the movie nights. The turnout is okay, but it's not fantastic, so when I do kind of a cost-benefit analysis, we're spending a lot of money per person, and I think it's just one of those things that won't really be missed. So that is something I'm going to discuss with them tomorrow evening.
Where is that located in the budget?
I'm sorry, the movie nights are located in the first section under contracted services.
Okay.
It's the last item.
Yeah, towards the top of the page.
Towards the top of the page. Perfect. So a figure of about $900.
Thank you.
Capital outlay. Natalie touched on this a little bit earlier. The $114,000 for the Henry Park basketball courts is a grant application we actually have already submitted. This is that grant that gets submitted roughly in August of every year, but we don't actually learn whether or not we've been awarded until the spring. So I actually expect to get word on that one way or the other anytime now. But as of right now, we go forward with the plan that we will be spending that money. The actual cash match will be $9,000, whereas the project in total will be $114,000. So I hope that's clarified a little bit.
So depending on a grant award, that $9,000 could go away.
Could go away, exactly. It won't go up, but it might go away.
Okay.
The park's utilities, they've gone up a little bit with the addition of the William Henry Park restrooms, obviously, and the new lighting of the tennis courts. If we do get the grant for the basketball court lighting, it could take another little bit of a hit, but really not that significant. We have eliminated all dues and publications. We have memberships in a couple of recreation and parks associations, and we will not be renewing those this year. And the supplies and operations we've just kind of reduced a little bit. Dave Wheaton and I have gone over those pretty carefully and have figured out where we could make some cuts there. So while the bottom line of that budget says it's a 77% reduction, that capital expenditure really plays into how that number pans out in the end.
Okay. Any questions for Mary?
I don't see anything in here for signage. Councilmember Bridenham suggested at our last meeting.
Oh, we'll actually be able to cover that in this year's budget.
This year.
Yes.
Good question. Thank you.
Thanks.
You also have a net down in the tennis court.
I'll let Public Works say that. Thank you.
Any other questions for Mary? If not, we'll move right along to Police Chief Arnold Downey.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We'll actually start off with the current budget, and we have frozen all capital spending.
Which page?
Page 18.
Still page. Talking about current budget.
This is also on page 15.
For the fiscal 20, but he's talking about current budget.
Right, talking about. Current budget. So we have $27,000 that we will not be spending on this year's capital, which should be going straight to reserve or where finance sees fit. And looking at our overall budget, we went ahead and reduced our operating part of the budget by 36% and overall budget by 9.14% or $187,500.
One more time. Operations by 36%?
Correct. And overall by 9.14, which is a total of $187,058. And looking at our actual current expenses, the number one expense, which is page 15, is contracted services. That actually bleeds over on page 16 also. What we did this year is, at Natalie's request, moved everything out of professional services, and we morphed more of the actual items into contracted services. So this used to be the third highest, which is now the number one highest budget line. If you look at page 15 and 16, you'll actually see the list of things if you have any questions. Our number two large expenses is actually fuel. That's on page 18. Third highest is utilities, which is on page 16, and we actually reduced that by 46%. Fourth is on page 19, supplies and operations. And fifth would be training, and we reduced that line by 54%.
What page is training on?
Training is on page 17. We actually had three officers actually that are taking college courses. One actually there said that they will go ahead and forego it this fiscal year and wait the next fiscal year to help go ahead and reduce that cost.
What was that capital outlay? 85.1?
85.1 was last year's. And this year's zero. Our budget year coming up.
Next year.
It's easy to get them all confused, isn't it?
With our five-year plan, we would have probably walked in the door asking for 100 and some thousand. But again, we understand the situation.
Okay. So overall here, you're talking about a decrease, am I correct, of $187,058?
That is correct.
Page 19, you have. Yeah.
Which is
9.14%
over 9%.
Mm-hmm. Now this on page 17 under telephone.
Yes.
The Comcast cable internet dial tone.
Yes.
The fire department made a request for cable for their station. Is that something that would be tied under this expense as well for you? Is that a Comcast, your only Comcast expense is $4,800 for cable, internet, and dial tone.
Yes.
This is for the telephone only.
Oh, this
not for the actual cable. We don't pay for cable.
The TV hookup is
it's free.
No charge.
There's no charge.
That's right.
This is just telephone.
Correct.
And then internet.
And internet.
So, am I correct in understanding that our company would like us to provide TV and internet service to the
TV only.
But they were asking that it be included in our negotiation during the franchise.
Okay, all right. And, and that's something we're happy to do, right?
I mean, that's what I was wondering if this was the same thing.
That's a good question.
I'm not sure if we can address free television in all of their stations, but I think we can easily speak to the station that's in.
Yeah,
I only cited them as an example. I'm sorry.
No. That's just at this point, any clarification is helpful.
It's late.
I'll take the word cable out of the description.
Right.
Yeah.
It'll be Comcast internet.
Yeah, that's probably better.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, do we have any questions for the chief?
I do. Chief, on any level whatsoever, is public safety being affected adversely with these cuts?
Right now, what we wanted to do on the capital side is try to go ahead and hook in with the county system. That's something that's going to be a long-term project. We can function, and that won't be affected with that. Again, right with this budget, you actually have all the positions. Everything is in the actual budget. What we have is the training itself. It's going to go ahead and be affected. We have people who are actually giving it as a benefit, who are actually taking college courses, who are no longer going to be taking those college courses during period.
I think what Councilman Goyes would ask is, are we reducing personnel? Are we reducing the what I call critical frontline responsibilities of the police department and eroding it from what it
could level? With the 187 cut, no.
Okay. I think that was a good question. And we understand, listen, we're cutting all kinds of capital expenses. Mm-hmm. Across the board. So we appreciate what you all are doing, but I think everybody's sharing the pain. They really do. Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank
you very much for your presentation. We appreciate it. Do we have anything else?
We do.
Oh, what's
that? I apologize
that?
For that. In my haste to go through the administration budget, I failed to point out order to make the cuts, I did not include the phase two of the mobility and parking study, which would be $26,000.
That has been deleted?
Yeah, it was not included.
Okay.
So if you want that second phase to occur, you'll need to tell me so I can add it in there. If you don't want that second phase to occur...
And how much was that again?
$26,000.
Thank you.
So you can postpone it for a year, or you can add it to this budget, and then they'll come back in, I think their schedule was July, to pick that up.
Okay.
Now, when we started, we talked about the proposed tax increase, and how much income would that generate?
Thank you, Mary.
So 88 cents additional will generate $856,750 estimated. It's on your screen.
Mm-hmm. This one right there. $856,750, right?
Yep.
Correct?
And based on $200,000 of assessed value, mm-hmm. how much would, there you go, it would be
additional
$400, but based on
year.
Based on
$200,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, and that is not taken into consideration if you get a homestead tax credit.
That would be a reduction.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. So if you've been here for a while, you take advantage of that. If you buy your new house tomorrow,
you have 45 days to apply.
You can apply.
Right. Yeah, but you won't get a reduction. You'll still be based on what you paid tomorrow. Because
it's a benefit to homeowner, but it's dipping in our total
Understood.
Revenue.
Understood.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And in fact, I think when we asked the STAT folks, it was $44,000.
Per year.
This year. They came out of taxes.
I think... We've had several presentations this evening, and overall, I think you all have done fantastic.
I agree.
I think you have done a fantastic job in trying to, and I'm not going to say pull this spending back in order, but reducing spending and keeping in mind, like Tom asked earlier about compromise and safety, I think you have done a fantastic job in your presentations this evening. And I just like to commend the mayor for his leadership and instruction, and Laura for working with the finance director, of course, and the department heads in what has been presented this evening.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's been very clear and very concise.
Yep.
But going forward, I would just like to say, as meetings are planned at 5:30, I'm going to be late. Okay, I will try to get here as soon as possible, but I just can't make that 5:30.
So the April 15th work session starts at 5:30.
So I'll be late.
Okay, I appreciate that. No, it's kind of thing we're trying to balance, starting and ending.
Yeah. I can be on time because I thought it started at 6 tonight.
I did too. I thought it started.
And I won't be here at all on the 15th. I've had a vacation planned since Christmas, and it's the first one in 15 years.
Yeah. You better make sure press knows.
I don't think he heard you, Troy.
You better make sure the press knows.
Hey, reporter.
Put on Facebook or you'll get blasted.
Good. It'll give him something else to complain about.
I think you should verify it. I think you should verify that with your supervisor.
I don't think we need anyone to adjourn to it.
Go ahead.
I think we're done. We're done. Thank you.
Wait, cover.
Thank you, thank you.
Where are you going?
Apple. Yeah, man.
Because I bought that.
But next time I'm putting my stuff on my iPad so I can see.
You can see it on here.
Yeah, I can see it on here.
Yeah, I know.